Batmania Podcast, hosted by Mega Ran, T Call, Neo X, Rock Knowledge, and me, G1 to the Rescue, is brought to you by Random Beats, the Steel Cage Network, and Geekscape.net. Remember, wrestling is fun, and please keep your shoulders off the mat. And now, the show.
Random Beats presents Batmania Podcast, the Southwest authority on wrestling, hip hop, and everything in between.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, what it is, what it did, and what it do. I go by the name of G1 to the Rescue, and I do represent the three most important letters in sports, entertainment, digital media on the Southwest, MMP. Welcome to episode 193 of Matt Mania Podcast. Y'all know what it is. We got the squad in the building. By the numbers, to my immediate right is the homie, the villain, Teak Hall. You know what it is. Teak, what's cracking?
Yo, what up? It's your baby mama's favorite podcast. This is what you be listening to. This is what you be listening to in the tub with the candles lit after she put the kids to bed, getting the wrestling tapes.
Yo, real quick, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I think we're live broadcasting, but are we signed into like all the others, all the other forms of media like Twitch and
all
that?
I'm signing every single one of them.
Yes, okay, just making sure.
Yeah, nah, I did that before we even started. Yes, sir. And then for lack of a better way to put it out there, directly up under me, is of course our, you know, frequent guest, friend of the podcast, the big homie, Marcos. What's up, man?
What's going on,
big
man?
Marcos,
the at Sunset Kid 56 and IG representing. Zovi here, just glad to be a part of being the fill-in Hispanic, aka the Hispanic Lion, according to G1 earlier.
The Hispanic Lion. I like that, though.
You know, just over here being super big and super hairy.
Bro, you just put yourself over. You might want to keep that as an AKA, the Hispanic Lion. That's hard, bro.
Hey, that's TO. That's Neo's TO right there. That's
right. And then speaking of Hispanic Lions, let's over. Get...
He also holding down the Hispanic spot for Rock. So it's funny that we had one not make it, and you called in the audible and got Marco.
You know what I mean? You got to get that Latino gang in there.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Ali booking Mega Ran. Now, speaking of Hispanics, let's get into, of course, our other resident Hispanic on the show. You know our boy, T.O. Neo, and of course he'll introduce himself properly.
What's up, mi gente? Thanks for joining us again for another episode. Again, it's 193 of the Matt Mania Podcast. We're almost at 200, boys.
Hey.
We're getting there.
Neo is the most Mexican person I know.
Whoa.
I would say that, but being from where I'm from.
Well, yeah. Tico don't know a lot of Mexican.
Man. Oh,
no,
man.
Neo, the way you love Jordans like American Mexican food.
Oh, like a straight up
Marco
Trump,
bro. Man.
Whoa, but the question is, do you wear them with jungle jeans? That's a violation if you do, bro.
I wear them with tight Levi pants and my big ass Spanish belt buckle.
Oh,
looking like a championship belt.
So your man is out there like, who's that dude from IG that just be doing the pelvic thrust videos for no reason?
Oh, T.O. Choco.
Yeah.
T.O. Choco.
Yeah, out there with his Jordans doing the T.O. Choco like,
with the big mustache and the hat on.
Neo, when it comes to Jordans.
Neo, can you go ahead, explain it for me. I need to know what the infatuation with Latinos and Jordans is.
You know what? It's just, I don't know what the direct
made in Mexico.
I don't know what the direct infatuation is, but for me, I just like Jordan's bizikes, and I like threes, and I like fives, and I think that's it. Like, I don't have any other Jordan infatuation.
Well if I can
ones.
If I can speak for the Dominican conglomerate from Brooklyn, New York, the Jordans were in the hood. We're in the hood like baby strollers and chiclets. We out there everywhere, you know? 1 through 13, 15 gets a pass. You know, but you know, we out there, you know, we don't mess with anything above 17 though. Yeah.
But I mean, I know Latinos that got the Jordan symbol tattoo on the jump man.
Well, that's on another level.
Cause they jump in that fence.
Woo, he said it, not me.
Oh man. Wow. Neo said it, not me. He can say it.
Hey, Texas is open.
I just caught that. That's fucking hilarious.
Hey, Texas is open. So all my people at the border down there.
Oh, jump.
You know what?
And I don't know what that's all about.
Neo, you get the smallest belt in the world based on that because of that comment. That's you.
But it looks like a winged eagle. So that's good.
I mean, man, it is.
What's up with that whole scenario, though? Why would you unleash, as big as the state of Texas is, why would you do that? Like, is it really that serious? Are they really hurting
to not wear a
mask?
Their infection rate is declining because of increased vaccinations. But on the other hand, they're just opening up the floodgates to just demolish the hospital and the medical system just one more time. Like they're begging for it.
Wow. If we got anybody from Texas that's watching us right now live on any of our respective platforms, chime in. If you got comments, type a comment. We can see every comment that you leave. And if it's something, you know, important or funny or relevant, we'll put it on the screen. But anybody from Texas, chime in.
You know what? I'm not from Texas, but honestly, I feel like it's a political move. These guys are just trying to get reelected. You know, if the population get pinned down, they don't care. they want to be on record and be like, nah, I didn't infringe on your civil liberties, because you know there's certain states out there that they're real. Like, I can't even comment. It's just a whole different ball game. That's the only thing.
Yeah, man. You know,
Smug said the only reason why Texas is opening up because their numbers were declining because they were under, there it is. They were stuck in their homes because of that winter storm.
Oh yeah, man. I don't know, man. I don't know.
If anything, the guy that, what's it called? The senator that we'll not mention here.
Correct.
Because he's been buried for three episodes already.
Yes,
yeah, he's the burial of the week. I think
Mr. burial of the first three
over
months.
There. He just wants to take the focus. You know, if the numbers spike, he's going to be like, "I'm going to do everything to make sure to keep y'all protected." Like, you know, you got to create a situation to become the hero.
Believe him at that point.
Right, there's no protection in any of that shit. That you just completely just.
Yo, the Valentique is right, but. It's 2021, man, and I feel like, yo, everything is happening. People out here operating like they have CGI and reset buttons the world, and it's like it's just wild, man.
Everybody think they John Wick, man.
I don't even care what's going on right now, man. I'm looking 4 years ahead. I'm looking forward to the next election. Let's go, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
Hey, if he really talking about running for president, hey, I'm.
I don't know.
I don't think he is, but I just like honestly, I am looking forward.
What's the thought of it?
Yeah, not even that. I'm just looking forward to the day that we can all sit and be like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And not have to worry about nothing. But you know, well, man, one day at a time.
The president said that we're all supposed to be, you know, have available to be, you know, get be. I'm sorry, have vaccines available to us by the summer. So the question is, if you get a chance to get a vaccine, are you going to take it?
He said, "The Rock says, God bless America."
That's crazy.
Breaking news! Yes. Breaking news! Your special guest over here. I am fully vaccinated for about 30 days now.
Okay.
And I have no problems. As you can see, I have not gained my X-Men mutant abilities yet. You know,
you ain't got a third nipple somewhere?
Nah, man. I'm just out here, but I'm still protecting myself because it's not just about you; it's about survival of us as human beings. I'm not out there being a super spreader. I'm still wearing my mask and everything. In case y'all can see, because I'm filming from the neck up, I'm a big boy, so I got to make sure that COVID ain't out there personally looking out for me, because, you know, like the Jordan meme, he's like, Marco's out here without a mask, and I took that personally. I don't want that to happen.
It don't discriminate. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. And And again, you could always carry the pathogen to a loved one, and nobody wants to do that. So
yeah, and real quick, I think this honestly needs to be said too. You know, just speaking out against people who are being like really negative towards the Asian community in the wake and all this. First of all, go to hell. That's foul. Like, we joke about stereotypes all day until we blue in the face, but at the end of the day, you cut any single person on the show, everybody bleed red, man. So please stop bullying our Asian brothers and sisters, man. We fuck with y'all. We love y'all, man. We hate that we even have to say this type of shit on the show. So yeah, man, like,
those are facts. Everybody be safe. Whatever you believe in, just be safe, man. Mm-hmm. That should be above everything. Safe. Everybody be out there safe and healthy. That's it.
In fact, I mean, I'm a big believer in the double mask. So if you have your standard mask, put a cloth mask over that one. Just keep safe. Wash your hands. Carry your disinfectant. I honestly believe that we're going to be wearing masks up until 2025. You know what I'm saying? I think when I go to a wrestling show, I will probably wear a mask. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
I can put my popcorn in the mask and then just throw it over. And
you know what? And I'm, God bless everybody else at Bombshell Boy. My 5G is legit, bro. We over here multi-coastal. We got a Verizon, so we good on that. But although I got vaccinated, I feel like this is just the first step. You know, we're not out of the woods. Like Neo said, like, you know, people like, yo, they gonna have people at WrestleMania. I wasn't like, okay, I'm there. I was kind of like, those are people from different countries and different areas. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like,
you know, you have a great point because they're different people from different areas. And, you know, we kind of operated under this, you know, ignorance, but at the same time, what would always happen after WrestleMania or StarCast? You would get sick, right? Yep. What would you call it? The kind of like a Comic-Con flu. Right. Yeah. Is what they would call it.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, knowing what we know now, I think, you know, when we do another event, I think we're going to be a lot safer because, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I'll definitely have masks on me, sanitizer, make sure shit's clean, you know, because again, like, who wants to get that Comic-Con flu to also, you know what I'm saying? I
mean, any sporting event where you have a man next to you, female, whoever, real all up close next to you, you leave out there, your first is like, man, I want to get home and shower. I don't know about y'all, but that's how I feel. Every WrestleMania, like the first thing that I do where I get back to my hotel or to my crib, I'm like, boom, boom, boom. Let me like wash off the day.
Think about how nasty we were before this, though. I was just watching something on YouTube earlier, and they were talking about people doing body shots in the club. Like, think about doing a body shot on somebody. Crazy.
I don't even,
And look, not now. I don't give a fuck something on somebody. Like,
that's crazy.
First of all, shout out to nerd culture and wrestling culture. We all know that there's dark secrets there. There's always that one individual that does, like, apparently sex or race or anything doesn't matter. There's always that one dude that is like, hey, man, you out here with, you doing a $5,000 trip and you couldn't sprint for the $2 deodorant, my man.
Like, oh God.
And that's everywhere. I've seen that at every, and it's always like a gathering where people are here to enjoy a certain fandom.
Yo, chicks too though. Like
that's why I said,
chicks go to the club. Listen, ladies, I'm not excusing you. I swear to God, as fine as some of y'all be, y'all know better. Do not run up trying to dance on me and right before you come up, when you get to about here, all I smell is grilled Maxwell Street hot dog onions. Oh, now y'all, you bogus. You super bogus.
I don't even know what that is.
You smell like Portillo's.
That's some Chicago shit. I will fucking clown you to your face in the middle of a crowd if you walk up on me, because it's happened before. I've had to
First of all, you can't like, mention bogus. Chicago without shouting out my man, Chicago Rob.
Hey, oh, hey. That's the weed man.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's also the homie. He's the homie first.
Right.
For sure. Well, shout out to Chicago Rob. I personally didn't know who he was, but if you're from
I think you've seen this.
You don't have to have somebody in the club freestyling all in your face drunk because you got masks on and you got to be distance. So.
Right.
You ain't gotta have your hot taco or pizza breath all up in my face trying to spit your latest bars to me.
Oh, please. Yeah. What's up, Sean? What's good? Yo,
didn't Rand have a song about, like, what to do at Comic-Con?
Did he?
I think it wouldn't
surprise me if he does. Like, you know, Rand make a song about anything.
Man, New York Comic-Con is something else.
But it's the same concept. Like what you do at Comic-Con is essentially the same thing.
What up, Josh?
It's like always, like, it's tight spaces with no ventilation is always a bad idea.
Oh, especially if you got, gassy ass, musty ass motherfuckers. Like, it's not cool. All right, y'all. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and get into, one of our favorite segments on the show. Y'all know what time it is. It's the put over. So, this is when we talk about anything this week that we might have enjoyed outside of the world of professional wrestling, which of course we got the week in that to cover in just a little bit. But we'll go around the table and then I'll go last. We're going to start with my right with the villain T called T. What you putting over this week, man? And real quick, if anybody got any put overs, please feel free to put them in the comments. We will read them here on the show.
Well, I think me and Neo are going to share a put over unless he changed his mind, but
no,
my
go ahead.
Put over is going to be, Close Enough. It's a HBO original animated, like adult animated comedy.
Okay.
And, they just released season 2. I'm 3 episodes in. How far are you, Neo?
Same, about 3 episodes in. I just, dropped off from, Cyber Matrix.
Okay. Yeah. So 3 episodes in then. I honestly gotta say, I think they came out super strong. Like the first episode, Josh Gets Shredded was hilarious.
I want to be able to lift you. Oh, man. So tell me about Close Enough. That I haven't heard of that one yet. New animated sitcom. You know I'm all for it. What's up?
Again, it's season 2. It's made by the creator of a regular show, JG.
Oh, Quinterno. Shit. Okay.
So it's got that same animation style and a lot of the jokes because it's on HBO, a little bit more edgier. They curse. It's a lot more raunchy, but it's still funny.
Oh man, I'm ready for that. I'm gonna have to check that out. So HBO,
yeah, it's
Mac.
About, it's about, parents and their child who are, roommates with some of their friends and just, you know, hijinks that come along with, like, parenthood and like middle
well,
age
because
and stuff
they live in LA and they can't afford somewhere to live, so they have to room up with their roommates who are divorced,
right?
Wow.
And they're raising this kid in LA. And again, they take like these very and same thing like regular
and hijinks ensue.
Yeah, they take like a super basic concept and then they just blow it up to like 11 is what it is.
Teek, I had a random thought just now. I'm like, if you and me had ever actually got an apartment together, you know what our crew would be called at that point. The divorced roommates.
Y'all get shirts.
Divorced roommates crew.
We could think of a better crewmate than that, man.
It's Rescue Villain Enterprises all day, but no, it was the funny portion of but Close Enough, HBO Max, y'all know, subscribe.
Yeah, shout out to the Max.
We be over there, we be Divorcees International or something. We gotta be
Divorcees
something.
INC.
It's just the simplicity of the divorced roommates. It sounds like a Seth Rogen film just waiting to happen.
You might have already thought about it already. Who knows,
right? But shout out to Seth Rogen, who actually just launched is about to launch his weed brand, Houseplants, by the way. And speaking of which, let's get into Marcos. Marcos, what is your put over this week, sir?
My put over this week is going to be Conflicted, the 2021 classic that was straight out of the 90s, 2000 by Griselda. The whole team over there giving us a banger, straight to video that might have been certain theaters. It's one of those movies, man. We were talking off air that it's like, it has all the parts that's needed for it to be a hip hop, slash D the movie from the mid-90s, 2000s. Like, you know, you got somebody come out of jail, got the drug game.
Like a paid in full type.
Yeah, it's like a paid in full, but it's not... It's like, it's a better version of the State Property movies. I think, the acting is a little bit better. They got some people that are acting. Like, honestly, I felt like I almost wanted to be part of the Buffalo scene. hard body, soundtrack, of course, you know, Griselda never slouches when it comes to that hard hitting hip hop. You know, friend of the podcast, West Side Gun, him and his team doing big things. Go check it out.
Absolutely, man. Yo, shout out to the homie.
Did you get to see Michael Rapaport pop his head in or anything
like
that?
Oh my God. Like, yo, I swear to God, like, first of all, Michael Rapaport is a national treasure. And I feel like somebody like hit him up and was like, hey man, you got some time to do this scene? And like he looked at the script, and that's all he did. And then it was kind of like he was just being Michael Rapaport. Like honestly, that.
No, I mean he's really cool with those guys though. Like he fucks with Benny and them.
Yeah, like it's definitely. It looks like the movie was made with a lot of love. The plot, of course, is by the numbers, but you know it's good to see something classic. For now, cause you know, like I'm a little bit older, but my nephews ain't probably never seen something like this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's just like it just makes being gangster cool again.
Hey, and you know what? If you're looking for a spot to watch them, you know, the old school hood movies, Tubi TV.
Yes,
Tubi TV's got a bunch of hood movies.
Yes, sir. Much love to Tubi. All three seasons of Beast Wars Transformers on Tubi, so I watched that shit.
First of all, do they have that 2000s classic Hot Boys on there?
Where I gotta check. I know
Hot Boys is on there. That's gonna be crazy.
First of all, for those of you that never seen Hot Boys, you gotta watch Hot Boys just until the barbecue scene when Homeboy is talking to the dude that's grilling. And he's pretty much like, hey man, so me and you get this hotel, right? And me and you get it popping. And I was like, what?
Wow. Like, interesting yeah. Dialogue.
Yes. I was like, somebody did not proofread.
Right.
Again, the put over is conflicted. Go see that movie.
Yes, indeed. Much love, Marcos. Now, and Neo and Teak, y'all really shared your put overs. Neo, you didn't have an individual one?
No, I was watching Close Enough, and that was going to be my putover. Okay. So, yeah, and I think Rand even said it in the chat. He was looking for some pretty easy stuff to digest, and that's definitely a very quick, digestible show to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's what's up. I'm going to check it out.
To add on to just something about Close Enough, the episodes are like you get two episodes a show. So each episode is like two 15-minute episodes.
Oh, like old school cartoon shit. Like they still do it with Animaniacs on Hulu. So, okay, that's why.
Yeah, like Aqua Teen Hunger Force or something. Like you get two episodes of show.
Absolutely. No, I'm definitely going to check it out. All right.
And I know we're bouncing around, but it was funny because something that Marco said was really amusing because I was at Ross trying to find, you know, like some socks and stuff. And I found these Buffalo socks. They were Stan socks and they had the Buffalo Bills on them. And I looked at them. Ooh. For a little bit, but then I said, I don't really watch sports ball.
Bro, you gotta grab them now, yo. Like, at the end of conflicting, you're gonna be like, man, I should grow up in Buffalo. Like, for no reason. Marcos,
check the hat out, Marcos.
Okay, Midwest kids. I see.
Hey, you know, I need one of them, my damn self, honestly.
Not Buffalo.
Bro, I need one of them.
I got you.
Wherever you got that from, I need one, bro. Midwest kids, we're going to shout them out. If that's a brand, yo.
I ordered that offline. It took me a month to get it.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, if we can get them quicker, I need one. Preferably black and
red.
I'll show you some of the craftsmanship on it. You see that? Support your local art dealers on it.
Oh, that's fly.
That's fire.
Midwest kids. Okay, I'm gonna keep that in mind. So All right, so I'm gonna get into my put over real quick without any further ado. My put over this week, as we're about two episodes, into the latest season, which is Power Rangers Dino Fury.
Okay.
Yep. Power Rangers Dino Fury, based on what I've said for the last year, is probably my top five favorite Super Sentai series. Ryu Soldier, which I expressed I love so much. So obviously in true Power Rangers fashion, this is the Ryu Soldier footage mixed with some American footage, mixed with some voiceovers for just good old fashioned Power Rangers fun. This time around though, the cinematography I think has like really kicked up a notch, because this is the, out of the two Hasbro seasons, this and the last season, Beast Morphers, this is the first one this that Hasbro has full control over, like Hasbro really like threw the bag at Simon.
Yeah, Bennett, because like I feel like the last season, the previous, they just bought it and it was already in the bag.
Yeah, man. Nah, this season is dope. So basically, short synopsis: we have Zato, who's from another planet, 65 million years ago. Him and his guys, who are basically knights of another planet, all went to war against Void Knight and a bunch of little beings called Sporks.
And to clarify, this is like live action, right? It's not animated.
Yeah. It's live action. Anybody who's watched Power Rangers over the last 28
years. Power Rangers.
Right. Anybody who's watched Power Rangers over the last 28 years, you know.
First of all, an animated Power Rangers would be fire.
That Hasbro is planning some things, because they're talking about doing more stuff rooted in the comic universe, and they're talking about the possibility of an animated series. So more on that to come. But yeah, man, Zato's a man out of time. And prior to now, his whole war ended up on Earth somehow, and they had a little accompaniment from the dinosaurs. So he been a ranger. Technically, he would be the first official Red Ranger on Earth before Jason. If this is
okay, Brian Cranston would not agree with that.
Get him on the line. Get him on the line, Neil.
And so present day, you got a scientist.
In Brian Cranston's bedroom, G1, and you gonna lie on the show?
David Fielding's technically, if we're talking about the show, not the recent movie, but. Present day, you got a young scientist, and you got a young social media reporter that's trying to report on this artifact called Dino Hinge, in which the secret base has been under Dino Hinge forever. There they meet Solon, who's an android dinosaur type vibe, who's been watching over Zato as he's been frozen in time. And yeah, shit gets bad, and they end up becoming Power Rangers, long story short. But gotta check out the show. Like I said, the cinematography this time, even for Power Rangers, even for this to be aimed at kids, they really stepped it up a notch. The music, a guy by the name of Bert Selling, who has a lot of roots in television music and a couple of movies, he did the music this time, so they went more for like an EDM type vibe, which is phenomenal in certain scenes. So the music really set certain scenes off, especially the morph. If y'all go to my Instagram page, y'all will be able to see that little clip.
Which is?
At G1 to the rescue on all
media. There you go.
G1 to the rescue.
But anyway, man, no, that's
G1,
the. That's
are you going to see G1? Are you going to see the pink and yellow ranger at Gotham?
Oh, Nakia and Kat? Hell yeah. Hell, I've been wanting to meet them forever. And I follow.
And they got an OnlyFans?
they don't have an OnlyFans, but they do like us.
They be twerking with the Power Ranger helmet on.
No. Like us, they do have a little podcast they do, and a Patreon, and a YouTube blog that they call Power Rangers Playback, to where they sit
porno time.
They sit and watch old episodes of Power Rangers with them on it, and they have like little critique and commentary.
See, that's dope though, because like, shout outs to you, like people right now, like reliving, you know, like, there's a podcast called like, Office Ladies, and then you have that one, and you have Zach Braff, doing the Scrubs we rewatch, you know, like those things are cool. I really like those shows.
Hell yeah. So much love to Kat and Nakia, aka Kat and Tanya from Power Rangers Zeo and Turbo. They'll be here in Arizona. They'll be at Collector's Marketplace one day, and then
they'll be
social distancing mask on, and they'll also be at Gotham City Comics and Coffee in Mesa. So check that out. Yes, indeed. Yes,
helmets
indeed.
Preferred. Helmets. Put on your mask and put on your helmet.
Listen,
helmet over the mask.
So no, man, that's my put over, man. Check it out every Saturday.
No, you put your Marco. You put your mask over the helmet. You gotta have a Power Ranger helmet with the mask over it.
Wait, like there was a Mexican wrestler that at a press conference. He had his gimmick mask and he had a COVID mask, and it's like,
yeah, it's that's like, how you use the gimmick.
Yeah, it's like
when
gimmick is life, but you still got to be safe.
you still got to be safe.
Absolutely, it's masking time, as our boy Ngaku Overdrive say. But no, man, shout out to Hasbro, shout out to Simon Bennett and the whole production team. Much love to the cast. We have our fifth franchise African American Red Ranger in this series. So shout out to Russell Curry, who plays Zato, the lead character.
Almost as much as WWE Black champions.
Yeah, man. And for the first time, we've had two back to back, because last series, Power Rangers Beast Morphers, we had a Black Red Ranger. So we got two back to back. Like, okay, in 3 years. Not bad. So much love.
G1 got these Power Rangers on his wall over his bed. You know, the big bubble head slats that you put on the wall.
You talking about
the black Power Ranger faces.
but never forget Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, my man Zach was in a finger the entire time.
Yo, G.
I did not know
they watched G1 to sleep.
I didn't know until recently that Walter Jones only had four fingers on one hand.
First of all, go
is
watch.
Is that why his hairline was crushed up?
Go watch Family Matters.
His own hair.
When he was a thug element in Family Matters, you could clearly see him. It's one of those things, like the dude from Yin Yang Twins. Like, what? When people tell you, you're like, yo, you lying. And then you go back and you're like, really was a thing.
Yo, I did not know how I found out that he actually had four fingers is that somebody's original artwork, who I shared on Instagram, which had up to now the first four Black Red Rangers that we've had, TJ, Jack, Scott, and Devin. And when they had Zach up at the top with his morpher, it is like, damn, why they draw him wrong? Because it looked like he was throwing up gang signs and shit. He only had four fingers. And I'm like, where the fuck is... And then I went and looked at a picture of him. I do follow him on Instagram. Shout out to Walter Jones again. I follow him on Instagram. And I looked at pictures of him. I'm like, yo, he literally only has four fingers. Holy shit.
That's dope. It means being a Power Ranger, though. You can be whatever, and then once you get in the Power Ranger suit, it fixes all that. I think they need to go even further and have a further handicapped person, like somebody that's in a wheelchair or that's missing like a leg, and then when they become a Power Ranger, they still they get their leg back, you know? like some Avatar shit, when a dude was in a wheelchair and then he could walk when he became Avatar. Like,
oh wow. Oh, you know what? Does anybody remember Mantis from back in the day? It was a black superhero, and the guy was in a wheelchair, and when he put on his suit, he could actually walk jump, had super strength and shit. So I mean, it's, you know, that's
let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. But everybody, what's on everybody's mind, did he do the hip hop kata after Zach developed it?
The hip hop keto.
Yeah.
Were you
practicing representative of it?
I'm not that personally, because I was more of a Tommy fan back then. So I was really like trying to do the real shit. Like Tommy is Jason Frank, who plays Tommy. He's a over 40 year martial art veteran. So it's like I was really trying to see what was cracking.
I heard he was a dick at conventions.
Well, somebody tried to kill him out here. So
first of all, Dio, get out of my head. Second of all, I've heard so many stories. so many stories. Well, you know what? I respect the man to be the first dude from that whole Power Ranger era where they were looking at him like he had seven eyes. He was out there doing the Comic-Con circuit before anybody even was doing it.
That's true, though. That's true.
He kind of was getting his bags early while still appearing on shows.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely led the charge in that for sure. And then other actors followed suit, and everybody started to kind of get it in, man. So yeah, he definitely, you know, and then he's and part of all type of like fan shit and whatnot. I'm gonna tell you right now that some of the stuff like people be on YouTube and shit really making like dope Power Rangers like fan fiction movies and little TV shows and all type of shit. There's some shit right now out.
Yeah, Bloodline, the whole different bag.
Watch episode one.
Yeah, I got shit out here. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, watch episode one of a new fan series called Bloodline of the Grid that actually stars an ex Power Ranger, Christopher Kymon Lee, who played Andros in Power Rangers in Space. He's in this because it kind of builds around a couple of different seasons. So it's cool, man. I watched that. I watched Power Rangers Unworthy, which our boy Mark Cooper did some music for. So yeah, man, it's a vibe. It's a super vibe, man. So shout out to them. Shout out to Nino Fury.
Hey, but you spoke about a lot of Power Rangers, but your main put over was.
Say again.
Yeah, Power Rangers, Dino Fury, Nickelodeon, Tech Your Local Listings.
All right. Before we move on, my real quick second put over is Resident Alien. That show is funny as hell. Go watch
it. Second put over. This ain't fucking Lord of the Rings. You don't get second dinner.
I said it. Resident Alien. Go watch it. That's it. That's all I'm
going to say. What is it on, real quick?
It's on FX. Resident Alien. I want to say, yo, it's one of the funniest shows I've seen in a while. The scenes with the main character and the little boy. That's all I'm going to say. Just look out for it. It's on episode 6.
If it's on FX, maybe it's on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on. Maybe. You can find it. It's one of the funniest shows that like legit, like the concept is out there, but like just the right.
We're going to edit this thing off of the show.
Yeah, it says here, Resident Alien, you can't find it on a subscription service. You need to watch it directly on FX.
FX.
Or sci-fi.
Or so they say.
Please, somebody got it. We'll find it and we'll share it
with you. Hey, somebody got to hook it up with a Dropbox link.
What up? Holla at me. Straight up. Hey,
find your local fire stick dealer. You'll be able to get it.
Your local fire stick.
He in the back alley with a trench coat. He opened it up. He got them fire sticks.
What are you buying?
God. Real quick. Also, before we go into This Week in Wrestling, we also just want to remind everybody, this is a listener supported podcast. And please, if you don't do anything else for us, at the very least, go to patreon.com/ Matt Mania Podcast and do our favorite thing, which is what, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey,
yes.
Additionally, please keep in mind too, Matt Maniacs Pro Wrestling Tees is doing a sale. Use the code MADNESS for 20% off. We're talking from March 3rd. The sale has already started now. So just by the time this episode comes out, we'll be blasting it on social media. You know, get your hands on a Matt Mania Pod t-shirt. They are super soft. And while you're there, pick up the Matt Mania album. It's there too.
All right, and this is a legit shoot. I will be picking up my t-shirt. I've been bothering Neo for years now. I gotta pick up my t-shirt. Best time to get it. Get the shirt.
Yes, indeed. Right. So, man, let's get into this past week in wrestling. Of course, we always go from, you know, the SmackDown prior. So we'll start there. I don't think there was any pay-per-views this week, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, AEW Revolution.
Oh, Revolution was this past week?
It's going
to
be this
week. Okay. It's coming up, right? I was about to say, I thought that was coming up. Okay.
This was the first weekend in a while with no pay-per-view. I think we have three back to back.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's go ahead and get to the week of wrestling. We'll talk about SmackDown a little bit. Of course, a couple of big things happened. We already know one of the biggest announcements was the beautiful Bianca Belair making her official bid for WrestleMania against the Boss, Sasha Banks, which we all kind of seen coming at the end of the day. So, guys,
yeah, it was so cool because like Bianca went on like, what do they call it? Talking Smack or Raw Talk or whatever it's called. And she just straight up said like, this is the smartest thing that anybody could do because it's going to be two African-American women highlighting, main eventing WrestleMania. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly
yeah,
that.
WWE, like, don't fuck this up. They got a main event one of those nights.
Don't fuck this up. And I
don't fuck this up. Second of all, nobody needs to be heel here. Nobody ain't. We don't need to show any divide. People need to just go in, give us two dudes with attitude style, like them in the back, like, yeah, I can't wait to get in the ring.
I'm going to kick your ass.
And that's it. Oh, ain't yeah, no, they, not everything got to be perfect.
They need to show sisterhood. Even after whoever wins, they need to still help the other up. Hold all the hands up together.
Let the WWE locker room, all the females come out, legends and everything come out and just celebrate them.
Which
I think was lacking when they did the main event 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
Like they should have emptied out the locker room and just been like, yo, this is sisterhood. But, you know, missed opportunity.
It was cool because you kind of got a semblance of that in Kofi Mania, right? Because at Kofi Mania, they had everybody watching TVs in the back, right? That's kind of like, okay, that's kind of like half effort. But I could appreciate where you're coming from, especially if there's not going to be lots of people in the crowd. Like, why not have big pomp and circumstance on this match? Like, all the pyro.
I heard that's why they did the lumberjack match for Bobby Lashley is because they wanted people out there to celebrate when he won the championship.
That makes sense.
To try to celebrate and give him his moment since there's no fans.
But if you notice, most of the people that came out there were his homeboys. People that were around the time when he was there previously and people that he either had matches with in TNA or whatever, just people that he's cool with.
Right. And we'll jump a little bit further into Raw in a sec, but, you know, just to keep it at SmackDown.
We're just piggybacking off of them saying that they need to bring people out for their championship when they win.
But you know, nothing's honor matches in WWE. Everything gotta be, you know, fuck you bad, you know. So, you know, can't be no cool.
Yeah. I don't want to see
you and sisterhood.
Yeah, I don't want to see like a surprise finish. I don't want to see somebody coming out here and trying to distract the ref. I want to see straight up.
No surprise attacks afterwards. We don't need like Sasha putting Belair in the bank statement after the match is over. Right. And if it goes the other way, which I hope, we don't need like, you know, Bianca giving Sasha the KOD for the second time. It's okay.
We just need a straight match.
Who's
coming out with that?
Man, B. It's Bianca's time, bro.
I think so.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think she should have been won that title. A title.
Not to sound like that guy. If they don't give her the title, it's going to be like, again, I apologize. It's going to be such a AEW. Where they build somebody, and then they just bloop, pull the sails out from under it.
Oh, like, man.
Like, they did that to Christian Cage. They did that to God Rest His Soul. They did that to my man, Brody.
That's not an AEW thing. WWE started that. Look what they did with Braun Strowman.
They do that shit.
That guy's up there right now, and he was a monster.
But Braun Strowman was like a product of they didn't know what to do.
They did it with Bray Wyatt too.
But this
they
was
did
a
it with every Bray Wyatt has.
They haven't done it with since Nakamura to a Royal Rumble winner. Like this is not needed at all. Like she has to be the clear winner, and we don't need shenanigans. We don't need anything because honestly, let's just let the match rock. Like this is the one time that you have everything you need there. You don't need any other ingredients. You need to just go out, let them get out there. And I'm not interested in seeing Sasha turn heel
again.
Like, again, it's like yo, yeah. she's like
the Big Show right now.
Yeah, she's like
no more BS.
She's Paul White levels.
Right, no more BS.
face.
Not a bad shirt though, but we'll talk about that later.
I would be surprised if they don't try to stretch the feud out, you know? So like, you're saying give it to her at Mania, but maybe Sasha retains and then she gets another shot. Or if she wins, then Sasha gets another shot. It's going to end up being like a best of three or something because
I'm with that, but you can't sit there and discount somebody's victory because then you take away from the legacy. Let's say, for example, Kofi would have lost, but then got in a rematch on SmackDown.
And then won.
People would be like, what the hell? Even if it was the Mania SmackDown, like, yo,
yeah,
you can't tell me that I'm not going to headline the Garden and then you're going to be like, yo, you headline in the theater tomorrow night with half the crowd. It's like, I'm going to be like, what?
Kofi Mania,
So tell me what's worse, Marco, for him to, in this scenario, I just want to ask this question. So for him to lose at the pay-per-view and win the night after, or for him to win at the pay-per-view and then get rolled up the night after?
Yeah,
he only got the title one day.
I think winning the title is the better move. You ask the Miz, because at the end of the day, wrestling wins and losses don't mean anything. It's about the moments.
In WWE.
In wrestling altogether. And like wins and losses. I see don't really...
y'all over there laughing when I ask that question. Can you see that? Bianca winning that Mania and then Sasha bank statement in her the next night.
I can see that happening. But you know what? At the end of the day, Sasha will have something that CM Punk never had, a WrestleMania moment.
Well, and let's talk about that too. Like, Sasha's had WrestleMania moments, correct? Yeah.
She doesn't need them.
Right. So therefore it could make like, you know, Smarky Fedora's all around, boys. Like, it would make sense that the EST does, you know, WrestleMania the right way. And it's definitely her time. Like, I feel like, you know, Sasha Banks, with, you know, not discrediting her name at all, she's a great champion. I think she's been the best thing to watch in women's wrestling on WWE. But you know, I think it's going to be time, but in what better time than WrestleMania? Like, fuck Fastlane. Like, we can just Fastlane right through Fastlane. Like, I'd rather just.
I mean, let's not fumble the ball. Don't do a Rhea Ripley, you know, where you gotta fucking send them back to NXT and bring them up again and rebrand and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, got the opportunity right now. Don't mess it up.
Here's the thing, T. Going back to what your question was, think about all the moments burned in WWE in your mind or WWF where you think about it and you're like, when do the moments that stay with you happen? Like legitimately, like, does every fan remember that Ric Flair was a champion by winning Royal Rumble? No. Do people remember when Shawn won at WrestleMania? Yeah. Do they remember when Sid Vicious won at Survivor Series? Not really. But, like, you know, they remember the big moments. It's like, it is what it is. History dictates that us as fans, we have selective memory. Like, there was times when The Undertaker has been, like, 0-6 in pay-per-views all through the year when he was a full-timer. But then he gets that Mania win. They're like, all right. He's still undefeated. But, like, yo, he just jobbed 4 pay-per-views in a row. Like, where you get the stamina from?
I mean, that's definitely Smarky Fedora booking. Like, if you really peel back the onions of wrestling, you definitely got some sense, though, for sure. For sure. Man,
I would hate to smell that scent if you got to peel back the onions of wrestling. Now, another thing on... another thing on SmackDown that was pretty tight. Of course, we've seen Daniel Bryan and Jey Uso. Do they thing and go at it? Yes, definitely a fire match. Of course, it ended in a double count out. Still was a fire match.
Oh, another schmoz, eh?
Yeah, but you know. Hey,
can I put the question out there?
Sure. Good.
You think at this point, if Jey Uso, once his brother's fully healed, and I feel like he already is, but once they fully healed and he debuts again on TV, will you doing Jey Uso a disservice to put him back in that tag team?
Well, I honestly want that table. I want Roman's table to just expand. You know, I think T talked about it last episode. Samoan Dynasty. Like, let's get it. Like, let's get that going.
Do you think that would start off top, or do you think that they would first build it off of his brother trying to pull him away from Ronin? Because you know that he has mind control over him right now. So it's like,
yeah. he had a break Jimmy essentially to get him over, right? And then I think the last match they had, Jay had to come and throw in the towel, right? And you know, kind of fall in line, right? You got to get down. You're going to get down and lay down. Essentially, what happened?
I think we're past the mind control at this point. I think everybody's bought in on his family side, at least.
Whoa!
I fell. Oh, shit.
Whoa!
I didn't fall. My camera.
Oh man. You good?
I'm good. My camera fell. I think. Aren't we past the point where we gotta like the. Do the convincing? Don't you think they bought in already? Like, I feel like with the fact that like all the older Samoans have come through and they've given their blessing, I think this is just how the family moves at this point. At least that's how I would put it.
Well, I want Tamina in there. Like, put Tamina in there. Put Jimmy in there. Yeah, I mean, you can even have a Heater and Nia Jax. Why not? Hell yeah. Right? Like, why not? Like, really take the ball and run with it.
The Cinderella Heater, in my opinion, will be Jacob Fatu, but I don't see that.
Ooh, the like, Samoan werewolf.
Like, he could be the guy.
The freshest Air Force Ones in independent wrestling.
Man, like, that could be the dude where, like on some shit, like, Roman don't even got to get up. Roman just got to look at him, and, like, he just got to be like, say no more. And, like, that's the dude that you send as a rat. Like, you know what I mean? You ain't even got to.
He would be even
the hitman.
And it sucks because I know they will put him in the NXT ecosystem first, but Jacob is one of those people where I just think he could just go straight into the main event.
Like, you know what reminds me? It reminds me when AEW pulled Jeff Cobb in for like one night because because he was a heater, right? He was just a hitman for hire. Mm-hmm. Like, why not just bring in like the family, right?
Bring in Jacob for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then give him one fire ass pay per view match, then send him on his way. Just to see. Or if you like him, you know, give him a contract if he really up for it, keep him around.
I say fuck it. Bring Sepha, team him with the Usos that's not been back, and give him and Jacob just like their solo run.
Oh, hey, that's whack. I didn't even know that. Jacob Fatu has a criminal record that WWE doesn't want to have anything to do with.
How many times did the Jay get pulled over? Right? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Y'all keep taking Jeff back, and clearly Jeff has a problem with substances. I don't know.
I think it all depends what kind of criminal record. I think drugs and shenanigans they're fine with. When it comes to like deadly assaults and stuff, like, you gotta be removed.
Oh, you think he might have broke a motherfucker for real?
I mean, I don't know. Yo, possible. The WWE right now, they don't care, bro. They'll swallow you and then just, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain people that just have this mentality in companies, and I think WWE is one of them. They can just sit there and be like, and?
Yeah.
What you gonna do? You just go watch.
and you know what, though? Like, I really wish, like, if you're gonna lean into, like, a gimmick, really lean into it. So I would just do something along the lines, like, if I was Roman Reigns or any of the Usos, I would just tweet at Rikishi. I would tweet at Sepha or Jacob, and be like, yo, you know, Samoan Dynasty, take over MLW, take over here, and we're taking over here in New York, right? And just kind of lean into it and let that obscure storyline on social media just kind of, you know, catch its own momentum and let the marks just blow that shit up to Timbuktu.
Yeah.
But see, if you start yelling Samoan Dynasty and you talking all you dealing with Bullet Club now too. Now deal with those guys.
There you go. I know. Yeah, I mean, there you go. It's kind of like really leaning into it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Samoan Dynasty has been ever present in WWE like the faction for like 3 years. Like every documentary that they bring Rikishi in, or even some of his the Usos, they are like, and the WWE's not stupid. They'll just wear their own gear. They'll say Samoan Dynasty. Like literally, if you go back and watch a Rikishi documentary, like is that a point that like Rikishi don't even care? He's wearing the Samoan Dynasty hat. He's wearing
the hoodie.
The Yoko, like he don't care. Like he said Samoan Dynasty a bunch of times. Like they're at a point that like I think the old man has a relationship with that family. He's cool. They can make money. They can make money.
I mean, yeah, man. That's more money than they could print if they really leaned into it.
Yeah, man. No, I totally agree. Just having more of the Samoan Dynasty presence, even, you know, even if they don't exactly call it that, but just having more of that presence in the WWE, would be fire. Or even just having, you know, multiples of that presence anywhere is fire. I still think that at some point down
I saw somebody in the chat say the table, and that would just be the perfect name for him. Just call it
the
table.
That would be hard. Hard to take. Somebody said the table would be their Hurt Business. It would be SmackDown's Hurt Business.
I look at the table more like Samoan Mafia. Like, so the table.
Yeah. You know,
but Samoans.
Yo, and then the king would be like, yo, just don't even have, if you bring in Jacob, don't even have him speak. Just have him like a la Roman when he first came through with the shield, just like
just fucking people up,
just nod, and it's like that's it. It's like and like even if anything, Roman, they'd be like, so what's up with this Samoan dude with you, the animal, the Wolverine, and he's like, and then just like Roman would be like, nah, don't even worry about it.
Like he's the heater.
Yeah. Like you don't need to know him unless we sick him on.
Like you don't want to know him.
You don't want to know dude. What
he's talking about.
Straight up, man. Nah, shout out to Jacob Fatu. He's the goat over there at MLW. I love watching his matches. I really do. You know, a couple of other things before we get into Raw and NXT and AEW, of course, SmackDown. Otis and Chad Gable beat Rey and Dominic Mysterio. Otis has been doing his thing. We had Apollo Crews beating Shinsuke Nakamura. We had Tamina defeating Liv Morgan. We had the Street Profits beating Sami Zayn and King Corbin. And Seth Rollins and Cesaro actually had a little face-to-face conversation as well, which we've all expressed how much we would love to see Cesaro in more of a main event title picture. Do we all agree?
You just gonna speed through Apollo Crews going back to his ring?
I was about to say that.
No, I definitely wasn't gonna necessarily speed through that, but we did see that he actually got into himself being a real African American and talking about his Nigerian roots. I found that interesting that WWE let him go there.
He got that push from Roman after him and Roman had that conversation. If y'all remember back.
I like the conversation for the fans that may not know.
Oh, it ain't about what the conversation was about. I'm saying you saw Apollo Crews and Roman Reigns' dressing room or his office talking with him. And then now Apollo Crews has went more vicious and going back to his roots. You obviously see that's him taking note from Roman Reigns about stuff and saying, okay, well, I need to do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. New finisher too. Kind of an Olympic slam type thing. He ain't
smiling as much either.
Yeah, he sure ain't. And I like him better that way. That's actually cool.
I also said that he smiled too much.
Yeah, we already got Big E for that. He already said he wouldn't stop smiling, so we got enough black dudes smiling. I think we need to have some bruises. But last year, you need one more.
Big E needs to be protected at all costs. He's like,
at all costs.
Big E's the man.
He's amazing. No matter what, if they're like, hey man, we're gonna put you in a segment where you're selling t-shirts, you'll make that the best segment.
You'll make the best out of it. Some people just happy to have a job, man, and they go to work, and no matter what situation they're put in, they got a smile on their face, and they do it to death. You know, the whole thing when you give, it's like acting. When you give somebody a script, a good actor, you don't expect them to completely do everything according to the script and just be this thing. Hey, you know, we hiring you for a reason. Insert your personality in that shit and really make it your own. So, you know, I think, you know, I think things are starting to, you know, look up in that realm. It's been super vibe ever since. But yeah, man. But yeah, man, we'll get into a little bit of Monday Night Raw. A little bit of Raw. So, man, any initial thoughts before we break down?
My initial thoughts, The Miz is the MVP.
Yeah.
Of Raw. Yeah. Miz, he's like the guy that you're like, all right, this is what you need me to do. I'm going to do it. I agree with you. I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. And I'm going to make it, do my job to make sure that whatever you want me to execute, I do to the best of my ability. He was a fool that entire role. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to dump on Raw, because how are you going to have the count out rule be to the champion's advantage, and then you're going to try to, you're going to try to disbar, like, the rule, right? Because Shane McMahon thinks it's okay to just bend the rules again. I mean, he counted out on purpose to retain his title, sure.
Right.
Kayfabe. Kayfabe. You think of like a rainbow with kayfabe just coming up.
Just kayfabe coming out of my palm.
That's why.
Yeah. Kayfabe coming out of my palm.
The story adjusts to whatever it needs to.
Yo.
It's like
I can't watch wrestling, man.
That's what happens when you're the Almighty, man. When you Bobby Bashley, rules don't matter.
That's the thing.
Like, regardless.
And to your point, Teak, I was thinking in the back of my mind, like, you know what they could have done instead of like Shane McMahon saying, "Oh yeah, like I'll talk to Miz, and if he doesn't, you know, do his thing, I'll just take it away from him." Fuck that. You should have had it to where, yeah, that's. That is a rule, and we are going to enforce it. And then Lashley should have just bent Shane McMahon's arm until he got what he wanted. Like, that's what I would have wanted to see.
I think they're trying to build him as a monster that we don't know is heel or face. Like they tend to like turn the Hurt Business to, it's like, again, kayfabe. Like, they're the MacGuffin. They use them to whatever they need them for that week. Like, remember when there were the faces against Retribution, and then one week they were beating down a New Day? It's like,
remember, they did it for a price. Like, they did it for a price.
That's because they're like heroes for hire, like Luke Cage and Heroes for Hire. They do what need to be done for the money. Oh yeah, we'll start Retribution. Oh yeah, Miz, you need help with this? We'll do that for this. And do whatever in the benefit of them.
And what other way, right? I mean, MVP could have lined Shane McMahon's pockets, even though he's like super rich. Make him even double rich, right? Buy his way to bend that rule. Don't let Shane say like, "Yeah, I'm going to bend this rule because I'm Shane McMahon and I'm cool." Fuck that. Like, you are a part timer. Why are you throwing your weight around? You know what I'm saying? I just wanted the Hurt Business to kind of have more edge over that narrative than versus depending
on. Bobby Lashley looked like he was about to cry when he won that title, though. I mean, I know.
Oh, shout out to him, though. I think, you know what? I would have shed a tear if I was in his spot, man, for sure.
Like, yo, that's a
big old eyeball.
What is it, 17 years?
Yeah.
It's crazy if you think about it. MVP was at Legends. Shout out to Legends in New York. Watching Kofi during Kofi Mania and get teared up.
We were there. Yeah, we were all there.
Oh, I was at Mania. My bad.
He was at Chad.
Yeah, we were at the bar.
We were there.
Like, remember? So you saw the emotions, and then for the next champion for quote unquote the culture, the next African American man to wear the banner. Carry the face. He was there. He was, you know, let's not mix it in as in, like, you know, business and everything. You know, wrestling is a business.
Correct.
He didn't influence it to make it happen, but the simple fact that they respected him enough and they trusted him enough to be an instrumental part of that story. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people, like, I see memes and everything.
I definitely agree. And you know, we give WWE a lot of shit for this. But long-term storytelling, long-term booking, because to go all the way from MVP trying to get Drew to join in with him, all the way back around to Drew not having a title and Lashley having a title and him being with MVP, that you know is going to end up with Drew versus Lashley.
Arguably his best opponent. Go back to the TNA tapes. Roll the tapes, guys. Like, they've had fire matches, and you got to think about it. Like, you know, no taking away from the fans and everybody that believes in it, but they were like, oh, if it wasn't for MVP, we wouldn't be here. But you got to understand, MVP is not a booker. He's not writing the storyline.
They
trusted him.
Yeah, they saw the potential in what MVP could do. And just like said, yeah, you're gonna take this and you're gonna run with it. And really just
they're
kind
allowing
of
him to beat Paul Heyman with the Hurt Business. He's got free reign.
You know, hopefully the Midas touch continues, and I get iffy when an entire faction wins all the belts, because just like Undisputed Era and every other faction that's been all champs, their rising will lead to their downfall. And that's the only thing I hate about those type of books. You know
yeah,
I mean?
But it's not like the UE didn't have like a crazy long run at that time when all of them had the belts and shit like that. So man, I feel like if it was to happen to the Hurt Business, like let's say MVP, you know, gets better and he goes after that US title. Hey, well, you know.
he don't even gotta get better. Like honestly, just have him like once Bad Bunny El Conejo Malo gives up the 24/7 title, just have like MVP just finally snap on Truth and just crack him with his cane and be like, you know what?
If anything he would have the 24/7 title, yeah, then just be protected by the rest of.
I was gonna say it'll bring relevance to that title because would nobody be able to get it? They would have to go through the Hurt Business.
And then on top of that, he can have that title while he's healing. Because let's be honest, you're not putting 30-minute matches, but the first step is let El Conejo Malo, Bad Bunny, get his run over, and then you know as soon as Truth gets his shenanigans, just like you even gotta have a storyline, just have him bump MVP. While MVP's walking, and MVP like, "Hey man," just hits him with his cane, and then he accidentally steps on him, and the ref just counts him. Like he even got a pin in me. He just puts his foot on him, like, "Hey man, what I tell you?" And then all of a sudden, the ref is like, "What did you do?" He's like, "I guess you're the champ." He's like, "All right, whatever."
That's fine.
Book it.
That's
right. Then he'll carry the title around in a briefcase because he don't even care about the title. Like he don't want to flaunt. Just carry it around in a briefcase.
He has a diamond encrusted attaché case.
Yeah. But shout out to Bobby Lashley for finally letting go of the U.S. title, which I feel like you forgot half the time that he was a champ. That title never saw TV time.
Terrible. It was terrible. But yeah, seems like the shit show was all coming together and getting a lot better than what it was. And yeah, man, we got Bobby Lashley champion. What more could you ask for? Now, we'll get into NXT. Which of course was last night. Man, listen, NXT, I actually just finally watched it today just before the show started. So, crazy man. Crazy matches going on. Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa versus Danny Burch and Tony Lorcan.
That hurt. That hurt my marble sack.
That entire match hurt.
Super strong style.
They just throw hands. Like, you know, if you're in a match with any four of them, it's just like, just be prepared to get fucked up. Because that was all that was really going on.
Can I ask you guys?
Yes.
Taking fandom aside and storyline.
Yes.
My personal opinion, and I want to ask you guys, I think NXT, since they've been on USA.
Seek your sideways, by the way. Okay, there you go.
Has always put on the best matches.
Yeah, I got it.
What do you think?
Now, while you're asking that question, of course, let's let in Ali Booker real quick. Mega Ran's in the building.
Yo,
someone got a new mic. Look at this. Use it twice.
Hey, I'm enjoying the club. I'm on the team.
We 3-1 right now with the HyperX Quadcast. Shout out to HyperX. Shout out to HyperX, man. Glasses, Mike, you know. So, yeah, man, that's what's up. So, ask that question again, Marcos, because then we can get Rand's opinion on it too.
My question is, you know, taking politics, companies, and everything aside, I feel like the best wrestling, like in between the ropes, no promos, no nothing. Uh-huh. I think NXT has put up consistently the best matches.
I think
and
so.
And like, you don't even, like, you just have to know who they kind of are, and like, you just vibe, like, there was people that texted me and was like, yo, I saw that match between Karrion Kross and your man, the 205 champ, and they put on a show. And then same this week, like, yeah, and Fantasma, at the top of the card this week, that match between those four men was amazing. Like, they just put in that work. And I don't know how they're able to put together these matches and get the right people matched up in the ring together for it not to look funky.
Yeah,
that's what they do it, and nah, that's my opinion.
Yeah, they got a strong team over there. I feel like everybody over in NXT, even though it is part of the WWE ecosystem, I feel like they got a little bit more creative control than what somebody on like a Raw, a SmackDown would have. Because I feel like Regal and Triple H and Michaels and all them that are in like all the men like the backstage positions, they really believe in what they're doing on a personal level versus them, you know, going to Raw, going to SmackDown, and just a man say, all right, all that shit you did in NXT was cool. Now here's what you're going to do. So they just kind of really get to let loose and be themselves. And as creative individuals, you're a lot more comfortable when you're just able to just spaz out and do you. Ram, you know, you can kind of speak from that realm, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I agree. I do think, to be fair, I mean, they're all operating on a TV schedule and, you know, timing and all those things. But yeah.
God damn, you're clear. But anyway, go ahead.
but I do think for sure that there's more leeway, you know, and also more motivation to do a great, you know, make a great impact, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the motivation is like, yo, you're basically watching people in real time kind of fight for a spot, you know, whether it's for the main roster or for a higher spot in the card, you know, for the big money. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a big difference between NXT pay and main roster pay, you know? So I think these guys are like, in real time, we see them trying to fight for a spot as well as like a couple more zeros, you know? So it's, yeah. We said it last week, like the takeovers are always fire, phenomenal. It's the best pay-per-view matches you can watch, you know? And the same with the NXT show week to week, man. It's the absolute best wrestling. You're right.
I agree. Now, do you think they do something special when they book people together? Cause there's been some bookings that I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, and it works. Like, I don't know. Mm.
Yeah, man, I think these guys are just all determined to give their best, you know, and, cause they know what's at stake and what they want, you know, out of this life. So, you know, you bust your ass and it shows, man. Like these guys are working hard out there.
Hell yeah. And
getting it in, man. And so week after week, it's always top flight phenomenal matches. Whether I know who's wrestling or not, like I just know it's going to be fire. You know it's going
to
be fire.
Exactly. That's all, you know, that's all I needed to know. But yeah, man, just kind of get into the top of NXT. Of course we had, Roderick Strong, at some point in the show calling out Adam Cole and saying, Hey, if you were ever a friend to any of us in the Undisputed Era, you'll come out here, whatever situation may be. Who came out instead? The Prince, Finn Balor. Finn basically told Roderick in so many words, hey, listen, the day you start to get a little bit more greedy about what you're doing and that you become a natural born leader, because he flat out told him right now, you're not a leader. The day you start to get a little bit more greedy, say then you can, before he even finished the statement, of course, there were hands thrown. And then we got a fire match at the end of the night between Roderick Strong and Finn Balor. You know, fire match, as we already talked about. Everybody around the numbers who had an opportunity to watch that match, guys, would you say almost takeover quality?
I didn't see it, but everybody who's seen it.
Listen, I watched it.
It was. Okay.
Oh my God.
It was fire. Like, I'm on the fence though, if that promo was more of a putover or a burial. Roddy has been doing his thing since the ROH days, but has always been like a wink wink, nudge nudge, that he's never been the leader of a faction.
He's always been a good hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I thought before the Undisputed Era, when they were giving him his solo run, I thought that was going to be his time, but I still think he has a lot of potential in him. I would love to see the NXT title on him, not the North American, the NXT. Right. You could just give him his time to shine, but of course now is not the opportunity.
Yeah, see, I'm a Kyle O'Reilly fan, and now that the Undisputed Era is breaking up, I look forward to seeing what Kyle is going to do with a fire solo run, because Kyle got some personality. He has moves. He's like another Daniel Bryan, basically, but with a little bit more aggression, you know, not as much plant-based foods. that nature.
he's a fire, like, tag partner. Him and the Fish have been together for like 15 years. They've been tagging. And before that, it was Red Dragon.
Yeah.
Before that, it was No Remorse Corpse. You guys are fans of ROH. Like,
oh, yeah.
And, of course, him and Adam Cole were a tag team.
Yes, sir. Of course, you know, one of the things that Finn also said at the top of that promo was, he told Strong, hey, I know how to get Adam Cole's attention. If you show up next week, it's me and you for the NXT title, Adam Cole. So, you know, at the end of their match, you know, Cole was there and he kind of looked down. He showed up, so officially signed. For next week, it's going to be Finn Balor versus Adam Cole on NXT TV. I'm geeked because I'm almost certain at this point, Adam Cole, I don't know if they're going to change the theme.
Is that going to be on Tuesday?
That's going to be on Tuesday. Yeah. So,
wait, is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Hold on.
The rumor.
They didn't go to Tuesday. That's rumored to be after Mania.
There's a lot of things involving that. Like, number one, NHL has a contract and they're going to want to air on Wednesdays, per se. Mm-hmm. But are you guys a fan of them giving away a fire match like that for free? I kind of feel like it doesn't matter with NXT if they're going to actually put the belt on Cole, because we've seen them do that before with other individuals. But I feel like we're so close to Mania that they need to, like, stretch this out to make this a big deal. What do you guys think?
I think that tells me that this is a storyline building match and not necessarily what we think it's going to be. I mean, it's going to be a fire match, but I think we get a screwy finish. We get everybody coming out to help. Somebody accidentally super kicking somebody else. Somebody fighting somebody else.
Yes,
and we wind up with a four-way somewhere down the line or something.
We got to have that type of finish. You already know how that's going to go. You gotta.
I feel like we get a schmoz finish, but because with it being so close to Mania season, like,
shenanigans.
We get shenanigans, you know. I don't think there's going to be a clear winner or at least a clear, like, decided thing by the end of this.
Yep. Of course, we seen LA Knight actually, you know, come out down the ramp. He spoke a little bit, and that was just before Bronson Reed, you know, was coming down for his match. But formerly known as Eli Drake. It's going to be interesting to see how they book. I don't like it's like he's the man. Don't get that twisted, but. Just interesting to see how they're going to book him. Is he like the asshole heel character? Is he like what Bobby Roode was when he first came in, or technically he still is, or, you know, like what is his MO, you know, as part of NXT?
I think legit they're interchangeable. Like, honestly, you can talk about Bobby Roode and Eli Drake, aka LA Knight.
LA Knight.
It's good to see him at the
at the Performance Center.
It really is.
No, the Capitol. What is it? The Capitol?
The Capitol, oh, Capitol
Wrestling Center.
It looks it like suspiciously he waited 2 weeks to be there live. But
that's true.
I like the only thing that I have a problem with is that Bronson Reed, I thought he moved away from that. I'm the guy that you got to fight when I get here. Like, you know what I mean?
He became the new Chris Hero. I felt like.
Or AKA the new Hideo Itami. Remember when he was that guy too? He was just like, I have no issues with you, but you just got here.
We got to fight it.
You gotta fight me. I don't know you, but we gotta fight.
So real quick, Rand, you weren't in here, but your boy Marcos has a new nickname. What do we call him? The Spanish Lion or
the Hispanic Lion.
Sunset Lion.
Yeah, man. Because I told him
like
exactly that. You see what I'm talking about when he
lion like demeanor.
Before we went live, I told him in the waiting room, like, dude, I've never seen you without a hat. You like a friggin' lion, man.
It's a filter. This whole thing is fake. The lion filter.
The circle of life filter.
Yep.
Oh man. Of course, we also seen Cameron Grimes actually defeat Reed, which I was shocked about, but it looks like they're giving Cameron Grimes they're giving Cameron Grimes this kind of Beverly Hillbillies type rich hick dude type vibe. I don't know.
Okay. The minority. He's legit one of my favorite parts of NXT now.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he's just doing what he's doing and he's having fun. He's kind of like the NXT version of Ethan Page. He's like, I ain't got nothing to do. I'm going to do my spot. And it's just like, it's pure comedy. And it's one of those guys that you're not trying to make him funny. He's just naturally that.
He was doing his thing.
And he's, come on, we got to admit, he is one of the best in the rings. Going back to his PWG.
He's been one of the, of course. We've never discounted that at all. Dude, I think he just got bigger and better. You know what I'm saying? Just prior to him coming to NXT, he was starting to really, like, do his thing. Yes, that segment with Gargano in the way. Yes, we were going to talk about that shit.
Yeah, I don't want to get therapied on.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, I don't want to get therapied on. Like, because basically the psychiatrist is telling him, like, seem like you got the,
they all the went to therapy, Rand.
Yeah, for Dexter Loomis.
They did another therapy spot.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're writers
thank,
are better.
Thank God for NXT having excellent wrestling, because some of this stuff is cornball.
Yeah.
Bro, you're telling me that.
The in ring stuff, guys.
That a takeover when Dexter Lumis kidnapped Austin Theory, that wasn't the funniest thing in the show. Nobody acknowledged it. They were like, yo, what? Your man came through and just...
But then, like, the therapy session happened, and he said, yeah, he locked me up in this room with no windows and made me watch cartoons and eat cereal. I thought it was dope, and now I love him.
What?
What is that disease when you fall in love with your kidnapper?
Stockholm Syndrome.
I think they're trying to play like a Stockholm Syndrome thing with him. I feel like.
I think Triple H is punishing him for the accusation.
Like, he got called up and was hanging out with, like, Los Ingobernables, the WWE, then he got called back out, and then, like, what's Theory's angle now in WWE? I would like to know.
It's called "I'm happy to have a job."
Right.
How many people get called back up and then pulled back down and then not mentioned and then brought on to something where he's on TV weekly?
Yeah, it's almost like she, you know, kind of like a Chelsea Green vibes right now, where she's kind of getting pulled up and pulled back. You know.
Yeah, the stop and start thing. I don't get it.
We talked about Chelsea. We love Chelsea, but, you know, at the moment.
Yeah, and she read up a contract, too, so hopefully good things on the horizon for Chelsea Green.
Yeah, let's get back in the ring. But yeah, man, so now we move on to AEW Dynamite.
Dynamite.
It's part of the Wednesday Night War, and, of course, we got Dean a lot to talk about on that. Man, yes. Dynamite!
But then again, that's
I do that shit before I walked in the room.
That's why I wanted to ask, like, when is NXT moving to Tuesday? Because the Wednesday Night War
is over.
It's getting there.
We have a winner. We have a winner.
Do you really think we have a winner?
We have a winner.
Man, I'm sorry. AEW, regardless of who Marcos they bring
is,
back,
Marco, who they, yo, like, it's Marcos is just like a more informed Rock Knowledge right now.
He just replaced Rock with another, but at least.
No. I love AEW, but
this Marcos has evidence for his hate, but you know.
I'm an NXT guy.
It's clear. Marcos literally, as soon as I walked in, was saying that it's the best wrestling is on NXT. And yes, I totally agree. Now, that does not mean that they won the Wednesday Night Wars. It doesn't mean the ratings were better, because they weren't.
I concede they won the ratings war because you can't refute math. So
numbers don't lie.
They don't, but I think NXT was the expendable show. Like, you know, if USA was like, we're gonna move you to a different night, it's not like WWE's gonna be like, no! Because, you know, they just got that deal. And I'm just happy that NXT's not moving to Peacock as an exclusive. Because then I'll be like, Jesus.
I almost thought that for a moment when they said that. I thought it was gonna move. Because I actually think the show would benefit from that. Like, not having to compete with TV stuff. You know what I mean? It's not a bad thing. In my opinion, that would be pretty fire. Those TV games, like, you know, we gotta have this advertising the match before it happens and advertise, you know what I mean? Like that, those TV games are like, they kind of take away from the surprise, element of surprise of TV shows. So I don't know, but I think we have a clear winner, and you're right. You're also right that it was the expendable show. They weren't going to put SmackDown up against it, but that wasn't going to happen.
But like, do you think would have ever, like, I don't think WWE would have ever moved their product. I think if AEW came out swinging and was like, if NBA didn't exist in a perfect wrestling scenario and would have had Monday Night Raw versus AEW Dynamite, then we would have seen a little bit more spicy people between companies. But I think it was kind of like the way that the old man thinks about it. And again, this is all speculation because I don't know the things of Mad Family. I don't know anybody booking anywhere. My the company, I just think there was kind of like, we're going to continue our course and not think about anybody else. Like Rand said in one of our conversations, like, number one is never looking behind them. It looks right. So it is what it is.
Always keep that in mind. Number one is never looking back, you know?
Absolutely.
Every week on AEW, there's a comment or a joke about WWE. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there was probably 10 in the last show. You know what I'm saying? And not that they were bad, but you know, it's
okay. Right.
It's on the shirt or you at the performance center. And like, you know what I mean? A lot of mentions of WWE. WWE is playing on a whole different field where they would never reference AEW.
But don't get me wrong. If they do a Hall of Fame this year, Triple H is going to let all the jokes out.
Cause like he's done so in the past, Ran. Yeah.
Before it was a thing, but not on TV. Was it on TV? Was it during precious paid-for TV time? Nope.
Oh, man. Since T-Call is just getting back in here, T-Call, your initial thoughts before we break down this week's AEW Dynamite, if you just so happen to have seen it or seen highlights from it, your initial thoughts about the show overall?
I could hardly hear anything you said. You said my initial thoughts on AEW?
Yes, from this week.
Cody and Shaq going through the table was dope.
Super dope. Let's touch on Shaq for a brief second, because this was one of his best, as far as like, because I think he obviously he's been in the ring before, but this was his best performance.
Showmen, man. And Shaq is a showman. Yeah. Like, he put on a show. Like,
yes, he did.
I didn't get like green vibes or nervous vibes at all from Shaq. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just out there. There was some times where he kept getting in the hard cam, and I was like, look at this big dork, like, not knowing where he's supposed to be on the side of the rope.
Which makes sense.
He knew. Like, he was supposed to be there. I was like, why would this guy be in front of the hard cam? He's 7 foot. And that's why.
Right. Absolutely. Nah. Whoever, like, trained him, whoever got him conditioned. Like, yo, he's been, he put in that work. First of all, we all talked about the Brody Lee tribute with the taunt before, a very clean powerbomb. If y'all remember, yesterday in our, chat, I put Sid Vicious, Kevin Nash, check. I was like, damn, that was clean.
That's where we rate them.
Yeah, right. Man, it was a good dude. And that was, I'm sorry, if you had a clean powerbomb, you had a clean powerbomb.
It was clean.
Yeah.
That looked good. What do you guys think of Jade though? I thought Jade did look green on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
She was never a wrestler, right? I thought she was always a fitness.
No, she's never a wrestler. And this is literally her first.
She played basketball, according to the commentary.
In-ring action, yeah.
I honestly think the MVP of the match was Red Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
She was great. She, like, made Jade seem less green. And shout out for Shaq.
Like, yeah, my man went through a table, Jade.
I think
they got bigger plans for Jade. That's why they put her over.
Exactly.
A little tap on Cody to be like, yeah, my 300-pound ass is good. And then, like, Cody literally was like, okay, we're fine.
Yeah, I wish they wouldn't have caught that on camera, but, you know, it happens. Like, in the live, because, like, we could see him being like, yeah, I'm good. You know what I mean? But, you know, that also let us at home know, like, okay, good, he's okay.
Now,
Fedoras are vibrating all around. Like,
oh, we're like, oh, he's fine. They're having a conversation right now. And I'm sure Cody's telling him, like, look, stay out. Don't move. Just stay here. Like, do not move. Like, you got to stop.
What would have been awesome if you would have done the old school wrestler thing where you just brush a finger, like on his arm or something. Like, that's old school. And then just put the hand down. Like, okay, Shaq, you've been wrestling for 30 years and we don't know about it?
Right.
That would have got it.
Now what if Shaq just...
Shaq disappearing out the emergency vehicle when Tony Schiavone went to go interview him and he wasn't there?
That wasn't appropriate, Tony Schiavone. No.
Where'd Shaq go? He just where woke did he up. Go? He just got up and kicked the door open like, yo, I don't need no hospital.
No, the Fiend. The Fiend came and grabbed
him. Oh, the Fiend was like, hey, man. Shaq, Jesus. Come be my friend.
It made me think about Steel. Like, Shaq had to hide his identity. Because he's a superhero as well.
Yep.
Okay. We're gonna get the Steel version of Shaq at Revolution. Hey, maybe.
Yo, the multiverse.
It's like Shaq's equivalent when Finn does demon mode.
Yeah.
The cleaner.
He comes out to the Steel score, which actually wasn't bad. I still remember it to this day, but
yo.
First of all,
oh my gosh.
They needed a backstage interview where they did like that Brendan Fraser movie where they had just a whole bunch of sweat coming down and they would have been like, yeah, just give it
110%.
You want to wrestle good. You hope to wrestle good. I think I wrestled pretty good enough.
You gotta win the match and you know, sometimes you don't win the match and then you become the loser and that's what happened tonight.
Like, where did he get a uniform from?
Oh man. And of course, we also seen Pac and Ray Phoenix take on John Skyler and D3 now. Ooh, they just
squashed them. Total squash.
That was a 2-minute super squash. You got a true introduction to who
Shout out to Ray Phoenix.
Yeah,
that was a showcase. They were like, "Oh no, we don't play. Like, let's show you exactly what we do." And they all just did like every one of their moves, and it was over.
Yeah,
first of all, it's like if whoever the AEW bookers for the tag team, shout out the Bucks, like looked at the rest of the Lucha Brothers resume, where they're like, "Oh, there's another page to this. Oh, we put them over immediately."
We've talked about it a lot on the show. Like, we don't know how much of that is them not wanting to get involved, really, or if it's the AEW not really giving them a chance. And I don't really know what it is, but yeah, I want to see a lot more from them. And Phoenix, for sure.
Well, Phoenix, shout out to Phoenix. He just, I saw he got voted, what, best high-flying Mexican wrestler and
best high flyer best high flying Mexican wrestler
that, like, this between him and Kalisto, like,
what? Not Mexican wrestler, that's but best high flyer, yeah.
Like, that's a very specific Mexican wrestler that wears a mask that is from particular
town. Right. Well, it was a category for best high flyer, and that's what you
want. Oh my god.
Best flippies.
Oh man, we also
there's a crazy high flyer, man, on those ropes. He's crazy.
Oh man,
and that dude's got like an infinite gas tank. Like, he can just go and go. I was super impressed
with, like, yeah, like to be able to fly outside the ring. Like, Pac jumps over the top rope, tope or whatever, then tags in, goes on the top rope, 450, was like, oh, it's all good. I was like, yo, unlimited.
Cray, cray. Hell yeah, man. I'm sorry?
Of Pac, do you think he's going to get a belt run at any point?
Yo, Mexico MVP and best flying wrestler. That's what he won.
Okay.
Shout out to Rick for throwing it in there.
Well, there's only two right now, so there's TNT and the world title. I really can't see him having either right now, but down the line, for sure, I could see him as a TNT champion. I would hope so. Like, yeah, but he's kind of stuck in, like, this, you know. I don't want to get into the whole record thing again, but they clearly said three times when he came to the ring that he is the number one ranked singles wrestler in AEW. Pac is. He is the number one ranked singles wrestler in AEW.
They said, no, he's tied with John Moxley right now.
Including Dark, though? Is Dark?
Well, of course. No, but, okay, so he's behind Moxley, which means he's next up for a title shot, correct?
But he's doing tag team stuff right now, right?
But that's why Mox
wrestler in the company.
No,
that doesn't have a singles match.
Moxley.
They officially announced that the Lucha Brothers, because of the win with Pac, which was weird, they're in the tag team
right. That's what I'm saying, they're in that tag team tournament, whatever it's for.
Not Pac though. The Lucha Brothers, not Pac. Pac is not booked.
Was he just holding down the spot?
Because they're a faction. They're a faction. They're Triángulo de la Muerte. So yeah, it's kind of like SCU. Like, if SCU wants to sub out Scorpio with Frankie or the latter, like, it's like a trios thing.
I think maybe when we get offline or somebody, you got a computer in front of you. I think they said Lucha Brothers.
We all got computers in front of us. What are you trying to find out? We're all staring at computers.
Is it death?
Rand, I'll be right back.
Is Pentagon good right now? He not sick or nothing, is he?
All right, wait. Tag rankings. Young Bucks champs, Jericho and MJF first. Second is Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Third is Jurassic Express. Fourth, FTR. Fifth, Top Flight.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
And then under that is their overalls too.
Yeah, they showed their overalls, but their rankings.
Who's booked in that tag team turmoil or whatever match that they do?
Let me pull up the card real quick because
I think Uncle Dave said it was the Lucha Brothers, but if it's Death Triangle, I'm with it. First of all, I was shocked that SCU still.
It's called a Casino Tag Team Royal.
Okay.
So they're doing a battle royal, but with just pure tag teams.
Okay.
However, so they're definitely my pick. I'm just saying that up front. However, like, they're doing the ladder match. Penta is doing a singles in the ladder match.
Okay, my bad. So then I'm incorrect. So it is Pac, which is a weird pairing. Like, I love Penta, but I think Penta should have been in the tag team match and Pac should have been in that.
Yeah, it is a little weird because Pac, Penta, and Phoenix, they have their trios faction, so they're kind of interchangeable. So that's why Penta is going to come back and do the ladder match, which is a very dangerous match. And, you know, and then all, and then you have, you know, Pac and Phoenix doing the tag team, you know, battle royal.
And he's got to take a bump.
He's gonna Mexican destroy somebody.
Oh yeah, somebody's getting Mexican destroyed. But he just came back from a bad hip, didn't he? So this is like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, he's doing like the worst match.
They don't care, man. Mexicans is built different, man. Y'all built different out here, man. You know, people get shot every day, B. He don't care. He go through a ladder, he come back stronger than ever.
Yeah, somebody's taking a bump there.
What you're saying is he's going to give it 110%. He's going to go out there and wrestle the best he can.
He hopes to wrestle good. You want to wrestle good. Man, I think he's going to wrestle pretty good.
I flip 110%, man. You hope to land all the flips you flip, but man, sometimes, you know.
Sometimes you don't. Yo, I want to talk about what Shaunika mentioned and what I think is happening or needs to happen is a trios title in the AEW. Have you guys talked about that?
I think we talked about it in past episodes. Yeah,
I'd really like to see that. I think they're built for it. They've built a very faction heavy show.
Well, and let's remember, Tony Khan said we're doing an emphasis on tag teams. Like tag team champions are just as prestigious as world champions. So yeah. I think if they're gonna definitely pull the trigger on a trios championship, I mean, I could see tag teams also kind of having those trios champs if they really want to open up their factions. Mm-hmm. But then it can kind of get out of control like what New Japan does, right? Because New Japan has tag team titles on both weight classes and that never open weight trios title that gets no shine.
Yeah.
So if they wanted to do this right, they should do it how they did it in Lucha Underground and just do a trios title and no tag team title.
Right.
But then it defeats the purpose of tag team wrestling on AEW.
So if you're a tag team, can you have both titles? Like, can I be a tag team champion and a trios champion?
Yes. Sure. You can hold any titles you want. If they book it, they'll give it to you.
Yep. You've seen it done in New Japan a lot. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying that they shouldn't allow them to do that if they're going to have both sets of titles. Like, a trio is still like a tag team. I mean, it's a three-man tag. So, if you're a trios, then you can't have the tag titles. Like, you would have to have a...
Here's something. I want us to try to keep this moving because there's the rest of the show, and I still want to do predictions for the pay-per-view.
Okay.
But I just want to end with this because, I mean, the rest of the show was very entertaining, but I don't... I mean, the Shaq part was definitely, you know, the thing that everybody talked about. And the rest of the show is really good. But Ngakoue Overdrive mentioned we have two gimmick matches for AEW title shots happening at the show. And again, this is, to me, it just changes the idea of what a ranking system is for. You know what I mean? And I hate to keep going into that, but I just feel like I wish we could have a time where it's like, yo, the number one ranked guy is just fighting the number two guy, and that's just what it is.
But that's what's happening. Kenny Omega,
and then one of them will get to be the number one guy.
But that's what's happening. His gimmick match, that one of those gimmick matches, is the exploding barbed wire match between one Kenny Omega, one John Moxley.
That's fair. But I think the casinos and the play-ins and all those things, We have a tag match happening for that, and we're also having a ladder match for the TNT title shot.
Now,
right?
I understand what you're saying, man, but I also feel like it's hard for them to keep up with the rankings. Like, if you think about it, then it's like if somebody gets hurt or if they decide that a booking is not worth it, then they paint themselves into a corner. Like, you know what I mean? That's like if you have a retirement versus retirement match, but then the person that you want to retire, can't retire, or the person that you were going to have them retire, it's like you book yourself into a corner. It's like a TV show that goes in and is like, you know what? This is the end, but then they get renewed. And then they're like, oh, but that wasn't the end in the before. I think
I get what you're saying, because it's basically with rankings, all the best guys stay at the top. So you would only keep seeing the same guys. How do you swap new guys in if you're going by a ranking, unless after they lose their title shot, their ranking resets?
Mm-hmm. And that's why they have like power rankings and then those overall
climb back up the ladder like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. And that's kind of where the thought comes to mind, because the ladder match, and this is where I do agree with Ongaku's point and your point, the ladder match is going to be Cody, Scorpio, who again just came out of nowhere, Penta, yeah, again, who just came out of nowhere.
They were both in stasis.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Lance Archer, who had to beat Rey Fénix for that shot. Yeah. Max Caster,
And then somebody else who we don't even know.
And then Tony Khan said he's going to bring a big name to that ladder match too. Somebody else didn't work for it.
Another surprise.
So Archer and Max got ricocheted. Remember the whole, yeah. Like,
they got ricocheted. Ricochet is now a
verb, and it doesn't just mean selling very well. So moving on from the show, I kind of popped. I'm an old man, and so therefore I popped seeing Tully Blanchard come out with his robe and the NWA US title.
The 10 pounds of silver.
10 pounds of silver. I popped for that. I can't even lie. I was like, you know, Tully didn't look half bad, which really surprised me.
And then you had FTR with the NWA tag team titles. I thought that was really cool. Like, I didn't know that they were the champs. You know, I had to ask social media, and I was like, yo, that's dope.
Or did they just find them?
Tully said, here you go, boys. This will be good.
They just went and bought them online right before the show. Like, all right, we can buy it. Here we go. We're champs now.
But they got replicas.
Did they win them online somewhere? So, here's the thing. Going off of all this stuff, number one is we talked about it before we got online, is the whole Big Show, I feel like, ties into this whole thing. You mentioned the secret person, the surprise person that's going to be added to the ladder match. Now, that and the new signee that the Big Show keeps talking about, do you feel like they're overselling and they're going to underperform when they deliver?
Let's talk about it. I think you got to keep your hopes in the middle. Me personally, the only person I would get excited for is not a Hall of Famer, and that's Zelina Vega. I think that would be a great pickup for them. But that can't be it, because that's not who he's just talking about. I think Zelina Vega would make me excited. Kurt Angle will not. Mick Foley will not. Mark Henry will not.
You know who I think Vince
keeps driving the stigma of nothing new as well.
Right. It means something new. Like, I don't necessarily need, but people think because it's, you know, Big Show who said it, that it'll be somebody who's a friend of his, you know? And so, but that doesn't necessarily mean that. Some people are talking about Jay White still. We're talking about RVD. We're talking about...
I mean, we threw out Brock in this, in the pod earlier. I know they can't do it if he would break their bank, but what if?
I mean, now, why not? I mean, I think it would break the bank, and I don't think they would really be down with that, but like,
now,
I don't know.
Ren,
Brock doesn't seem like I'll take a pay cut to help you.
Yeah, like, what I want to help you for? Like, I'm trying to get paid.
I think, Mega, I think you actually just influenced the conclusion that I just came up in my mind right now, my wheel turning, and that you and Teak were going over what happened with FTR. You know who would make sense? And it will fall into the whole plan. Nick Aldis. They had all their former NWA champions, and then that is the fourth for them to go, woo!
But that's why they brought Sean Spears in, right?
That only problem with that is they had Sean Spears there, right? And they were still doing the four things. So, like, I don't know if they, but you know, so with JJ Dillon, with
is Tully considered the fourth?
I don't know.
We gotta have a fourth.
Did we already give hats off to Tully for pulling off a decent suplex?
Yes. Yo, Tully looked good, man. I was not expecting that.
Since we're tying those together, what do you guys think about Arn coming out throwing the four as well? Like, yes, he's a member of the Four Horsemen, but like, he's also the Nightmare family. So like, where's his allegiance?
Where's their loyalty lie? Well, I think it was like, I approve of this, that kind of thing. Like, I think he was like, yo, I approve. Like, you know, I'll give y'all my blessing, you know.
Stir the pot. You bring in all this and guess what feud you have sparked again? All this Cody
and all this, yeah.
The belt. But it's not, cause you know, every time I get excited for anything wrestling related, it's always the opposite.
Don't get excited, guys.
It's okay to suspend your disbelief. Why not?
Okay, here's Ngaku said it, and like three other people said it to me on my Twitter. If it's Christian, how do we all feel about it? You guys feel good about it if it's Christian?
I'm
cool with that.
I'll be happy with it, but I'll be disappointed that he's not ending his career at the same time that Edge is, and we won't get that a tag run with them. I would love a tag run with them.
This is crazy timing. When you think about it, like, the fact that, and my homie Chris brought up to me, Big Show was on WWE TV 4 weeks ago. So at this point, you know, anybody's almost fair game at this point. Like, nobody's locked in as far as those like legends kind of guys go. You think they would give Christian like, yo, final four in the Royal Rumble and not have him sign to any sort of long-term agreement?
To believe Uncle Dave, he said that.
I don't know what is AEW offering people to get in the flip like that.
It's money.
Health insurance. They got that much money to get Big Show to say, hey, FWWE, and come over here?
Let's unpack that.
No. I don't think that's what happened. I think he went to Vince and was like, yo, they want me. And Vince was like, take that money. You know, I think that's what happened. He's like, look, you can come back whenever. Like, when your career's over, you're our guy, you know, but go do your thing.
Who do you think if they made the jump, one of these, the guys that's on a legends contract was kind of a free agent, who do you think that's out there if they made a jump will burn the bridge with WWE forever?
I mean, we seen Moxley do it.
I don't think he burned the bridge forever.
Nah, I don't think anybody could. Vince doesn't take anything personally, in my opinion.
Don't you think
anybody can come back?
Bro, seriously, if Warrior can come back, who, like, they did a whole smear DVD on this dude? Like, come on.
Still one of the most funniest thing ever.
Yeah, I was so mad at that DVD. Christian, of all people, and that's funny we're talking about Christian now. But this is Christian, like, 15 years ago, saying on this, making fun of the Warrior. I'm like, man, shut up. Like, who are you? Talking about, I didn't ever understand what he was saying in his promos. Oh, he just got gassed when he came to the ring. Like, man, shut up. It made me so mad.
As long as you come back and kiss Vince's ass in his office properly, when he goes in there, the door closes, no camera, you're good.
You're good. I agree. So there's no burnt the bridge ever. It could be John Cena popping up on AEW.
I think we would see John Cena commit Sepulchro in the ring live on a pay-per-view before he steps into anywhere else that's not AEW.
I agree, but I think that Vince don't take any of this stuff personally.
I don't know, like, man. Go get your money. High off that He might be high off that watermelon Mountain Dew he hocking in these commercials.
Hey, shout out to Watermelon Mountain Dew. It's delicious.
Somebody told me it was gross, but
I don't want to like it, but I do like it. The zero is good. So speaking of surprise, who you think, like, I assume that the ladder match person is going to be a young guy or somebody that's in their prime that is, it's going to be like an independent darling. I don't know who else is out there.
Yeah, like, who else is really out there?
Hey, you know who I want it to be? If it's the subject of the ladder match, I would like to see, not calling him by his WWE name, I would like to see Tommy End as a part of that match.
Alistair, I feel like he's still under contract.
No.
But that would be fun to see, but I think he's still under contract.
I don't think he is.
Maybe.
I think if it's anything, it's somebody from GCW. But who do they have left?
I think, to be fair, what it should be, it should be somebody from Impact, if we're being fair. Like, it should be like a Chris Bay. It should be. It should be a Chris Bay, a Moose, or somebody. I think, to be fair, but I don't think that's what will happen. But like, yo, like, you've been able to.
But is he?
I would love to see Chris Bay. Chris Bay is.
No, yeah, Chris Bay. He's one of those guys. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, we talked about it. He took the Canadian Destroyer off the ladder. He can be in a ladder match.
He sure can.
But do you want Chris Bay to get the Impact new guy, not the Impact, the AEW new guy push, where you come in and you don't really do anything? Like, you're like, oh snap!
Well, I don't think it would be an AEW. I don't think it'd be an AEW new guy push. I would think him being a representative of Impact, like they've been doing with, you know, the other Impact guys, them actually putting him in that picture. And see, here's the cool part. Here's a hot take, right? At one point, Chris Bay had, I want to say, 3 or 4 titles from 4 different independent organizations all at once. So why
he also had Chris on Twitter?
He had what now? What?
Cody Rhodes was tweeting about him on Twitter and stuff like that,
which led to him getting signed. So, but you know, and of course, along with his own talent, we don't want to, you know, say that.
Oh,
but,
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but definitely, I feel like with him doing that, it would be fire to see him maybe hold. He gets the X Division back in Impact. He gets the X Division belt back, and then he comes over here, and maybe somewhere down the line, if they do a program with him and Darby, maybe he has the TV title on some heel shit. Maybe he's playing keep away with it. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I gotta work Impact. So, you know, I didn't want to defend the belt this week.
Speaking of Impact, what if somebody from Impact causes Penny the belt? But that would work, but then it wouldn't. Like, I don't think AEW will be able to.
It would be interesting, like, if Swan or somebody costs him the title, and then he goes after Swan's title.
No risk, Swan. But hey, you know, of course, let's, you know, to kind of put the bow on episode 193 here. So, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up, and we'll get into our Patreon exclusive episode. Did we have any brief final thoughts going into this week of wrestling?
Well, we got a pay-per-view coming up Sunday, so we got to do our predictions unless y'all have already. Also want to give, Rio Mizunami props for winning that women's, match against Nyla. Good match, hard hitting. Hikaru Shida in the white suit is everything for me. I'm a huge fan. I'm digging the white suit, Shida.
Yeah.
It's chef's kiss, beautiful.
Absolutely.
But,
so let's talk about
these matches.
Predictions for AEW Revolution, of course, our gentlemen.
We can play it on the Patreon version. How about that? Too? We'll play it. Thank you. We'll play it for the. It hasn't officially come out yet, but it will be on streaming services. In fact, it'll be there tonight. It's 10 o'clock. It'll be there tonight. So check my page. It's called Revolution. It is officially uploaded right now on my Bandcamp page.
And
so
it's fire.
You can go get it. It's kind of a banger. And
yes, it is.
So we'll play it for y'all on the Patreon episode. But here we go. Y'all ready for a revolution? Let's talk about it. Let's go through this card. On the pre-show, we have Rio and Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker and Rebel. Any thoughts on that one?
I think it should be short and sweet. Rio and Thunder needs to go over. I think Britt Baker's faction needs to either break up or just move over, or if anything, implode again. I don't know. I just think this match needs to be quick, showcase everybody individually, and just keep it moving.
Yeah. Rio and Thunder Rosa, definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I dig both of them. So I agree with that pick. Wait, Neo's not here. All right. We'll get his picks later. Casino Tag Team Battle Royale. Who y'all got?
Shit. That's a tough one.
Everybody.
I feel like it's either gonna be Dark Order, Death Triangle, or the Gun Club.
I think it's gonna be Death Triangle.
I hope so. I think them showcasing them this week could have been a little bit of a preview, just to let people know that, you know, they're serious.
Absolutely.
So like, maybe
Death Triangle, I feel like, would get that push because it's for a future AEW World Tag Team Championship match, and maybe Death Triangle is trying to, you know, reassert their dominance at this point. Also, thank you, Rand, for that. Also, we got a tag team match. We got Miro and Kip Salian with Penelope Ford at ringside versus the Best Friends, Orange Cassidy and Chucky T. Of course, Chuck Taylor was with Miro doing the what do they call it?
Thing. The wedding.
Yeah. He was his good boy. What's the term I'm looking for?
Young boy.
Right. I didn't know the term prior to when we were talking about it the first time. I had never heard the term before in my life.
It's the second time a major wrestling company in the States used that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're like bugging out. But okay.
Yeah.
So we
used to call them bag boys.
Bag boys.
Okay.
I think it's got to be Miro and Kip, or well, not necessarily. Nah, I feel like
this time
I do think the Best Friends got to get their revenge. I think Miro's got to look really good.
Miro's going to snap.
Of course,
yeah. I think Best Friends win. Miro snap, and then he beats up Kip. There we go.
I think Best Friend Orange and Chuck got to win.
Well, Chuck's injured.
Well, I thought it was Chucky T. You're talking about
the other one's hurt.
Oh, Trent.
Trent's hurt.
I thought Cassidy
and Chuck. Yeah.
So it's going to be Cassidy and Taylor taking this, and hopefully this will be the end of the storyline. It's gone on way too long.
Yeah, this has been like 3 months, and it's going nowhere. So they both deserve better. They deserve better than this.
It's like back to back wedding storylines for Miro. Shout out to him for being the wedding goat.
A good sport.
Hey, let's talk about this.
That's
face of the revolution.
That's why he has to beat up Tiff, because maybe he can go solo and do what he needs to do.
And I just realized he's number 5 in the solo rankings. Okay. I don't know if that means title shots sometime soon.
And he's undefeated.
And he is undefeated, so it's time to go solo.
So are we going to get a gimmick, Street Fighter 5, him versus Kenny, arcade match?
But he's a.
I don't know, but I want to see him fight on Brian Cage.
Ooh, that's a Hoss fight. I want to see that.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's a lot of beef in the ring.
That is a lot of beef.
Next match over. We'll get into in a little bit. What were you saying, Zeke?
Big sweaty man slapping meat.
Big Meaty Man slapping meat. Shout out to Big E. Next, let's talk about, we got a Face of the Revolution ladder match for a future AEW TNT Championship match. Cody Rhodes, Scorpio Sky, Penta El Zero Miedo, Lance Archer, Max Caster, and a sixth opponent to be announced. Now, do y'all think it's going to be any of the existing people, or do y'all think it's going to be...
that's a tough one.
I honestly... My heart wants to say Sky, but my mind is saying TBD.
Yeah, I think same. You bring in a guy, they gotta win.
So we all agree, hold our predictions until we find out who this person is.
I want Scorpio Sky, but like, you know, we clearly mentioned, like, he just came off an injury. Like, he didn't really earn a spot here. He's just there. And even on commentary, he was kind of being a little heelish about it. You know what I mean? Like,
he was confident.
I don't have to be 100%, or I don't have to work for anything because I'm me. You know, like he was saying that a lot, and like there, so maybe a turn is coming, but like I don't know.
And was it weird? Was it weird? Like when Charlotte cries, and Mayn's healing her promos. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it's weird.
Big money match. Winner receives the loser's 2021 first quarter earnings. So we got Hangman Adam Page taking on Matt Hardy. Who y'all got going over now? Big money match.
I wish I cared. I don't care. But
about that one. Oh, this sucks.
I wish I cared. Adam Page buried this Matt
Hardy. Y'all not invested in this storyline?
I like Big Money.
I like it.
Y'all not invested. I like it.
You also got to remember, Rand doesn't watch BTE. He's probably not watching the product regularly. He probably doesn't know all the Cardi shit that Hardy's been doing, you know? And you want to see, you want to see Adam bury him.
I do want that, but like, I feel like hopefully that's the end of this story if that happens.
Maybe this makes me heal, but I feel like Hardy is going to win. Just because. Yeah.
And I get Marcos's point because it's a pretty fresh gimmick. So right now he's paying people to hurt everybody in the Dark Order, and he's basically putting hits on everybody in the Dark Order with using all of his money, you know. So it's been a pretty interesting story.
I mean, that is interesting. I've seen a lot of it, and you know, I guess I haven't seen BTE, but just from what I've seen on the show, it's interesting. He's playing like a Vince McMahon character or something. It is
big money Matt. It's like Shane McMahon in the Mean Street Posse type shit.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Simon, thinks that this is going to end with Hangman Page leading the Dark Order.
Ooh. Okay.
I feel like I'd be happy with that. That's where that is.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Adam Page needs consultation.
We gotta have negative one.
Wait, yeah. What about negative one?
We gotta have negative one at consultation.
I'm sure he's still gonna be there, but I'm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I honestly think
he has to go to school at some point and
right.
grow up.
I'm like, yo, this kid gotta go to school.
Man he's negative one. He ain't gotta go to school.
Negative one doesn't need school.
The negative one. Hey, the Japanese girls. Let's talk about the singles match for the AEW World Championship. Hikaru Shida, champion, defending her title against Rio Mizunami. Who wins this?
I think Shida wins. I'm hoping this match gets interrupted by Zelina Vega. I don't know why I keep hoping that.
Thea Trinidad will be
That's what I want to see. I don't think that'll happen. I also mentioned another person that he mentioned. Like someone said in my chat that made me think, okay. Because they were like, oh, Hall of Fame caliber. What if it's Mickie James?
With Nick Aldis.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Nick Aldis is the mystery person for the ladder match.
Money.
Now you got this Mickie
James. Mickie James comes out during the ladies' match. So, hey, a couple gets to stay together. That's AEW.
I don't. 50-year-old white dude. I just don't want that.
Well, I in the ladder match, I don't think it's going to be Nick Aldis. The reason why is because if you want to be legit, why are you going to nerf the NWA title and have the top guy in that company be like,
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
You're right. That makes sense. But still, it would be cool to see. But anyhow, street fight. So we got Team Taz, Brian Cage and Ricky Starks taking on Darby Allin and Sting. Of course, we've actually seen Sting do some movements. Sting gave somebody a Scorpion Death Drop. So who's going over in this, y'all?
The padding in Sting's costume. That's who was going
over. He's got a whole D-Lo protective vest.
He got a flak jacket on.
We're laughing, but Tony confirmed this. He's wearing.
Really? No, you know who he's looking like? He's looking like Big Daddy from Kick-Ass when Nick Cage had all that padding on.
Kick-Ass Batman outfit.
All right. This is weird.
Sting, you're wearing hockey pads.
Sting is like, Heyday Sting is one of my top five wrestlers of all time. However, I don't think he needs to win this match in any way. I'm Team Taz needs wins badly. They need to be dominant. They need to win this. And they need to destroy these dudes. That's just my opinion.
They need to sign Mbatu. Put him with the Tax Faction. Yo, Mbatu would. He's a big beefy boy.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Put him in there, man.
They need to look dominant, man. Like, they can't be running from this old man.
The whole reason they brought Sting in. Yeah, the whole reason they brought Sting in is to get broken by Team Taz, and then he leaves.
There you go.
That's good.
There you go. That's it.
But he got a multi-year contract with them, so it'd probably just be, he probably won't leave. It'll just be some backstage at that point.
Like, I feel bad.
You'd be like, I broke Sting.
Darby Allin is going to get tossed around like a rag doll.
Of course he is.
That's all he
gonna
do.
He's going to be a ridiculous spot. He's going to almost get killed. Like, he's going to do something crazy. He always does.
He did the zip line thing, though. That zip line thing was dope.
That was cool. That was cool.
Yeah, Shanika, it's a street fight. Yeah, typical street fights are always no DQ.
False count anywhere,
and it's supposed to be
feel iffy now, man. You guys know,
I think didn't we hear that this fight is going to be produced?
Who said that?
I thought I heard that the street fight was going to be produced.
That'd be dope.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean,
I think it's a good idea.
As long as it doesn't end like the Matt Hardy.
It might have been before they knew what Sting could do. Now they've been testing him out in these little bits and pieces on the way, though.
Yeah, they need a stunt double to get him off. They're going to take it to the football field.
And
Brian Cage is going to powerbomb. He's going to powerbomb Darby through the goalposts of the football field.
This is evil Rand coming out. This is evil Fedora Rand. He wants to see motherfuckers get annihilated.
I don't want to see Sting get hurt, obviously, but I just don't think he should win this match.
Like, I agree.
I know what I mean.
Sting losing when they powerbomb the same dummy that got set on fire by the WWE through trap.
All right. Two more matches and then we got to get to this Patreon episode. Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and MJF. AEW World Tag Team Championship on the line. I'm sure we've all been following the thing. We seen the Young Bucks get a little measure of revenge, a couple of table spots on AEW this week. So who's going over, Young Bucks or Jericho and MJF?
I can't call this, y'all.
It's definitely got to be the Bucks. I'm saying Bucks.
Jericho and MJF. Yeah.
I don't know. It could be a toss-up. The way they book the Bucks, get revenge because of their dad. Shout out to their dad, overselling. And honestly, if MJF and Jericho don't win, then you can further the implosion of Inner Circle. Like, if they lose by shenanigans, by somebody interfering, trying to help them.
The only other person who's out there is Wardlow.
Well,
yeah, he could screw it up. I could see that. You're right. If the story is that the Inner Circle, you know, may not get along. But I think Sammy has been missing, so I would like to see Sammy Guevara pop up. But
AEW isn't known for schmoz finishes. That's the thing. Like, for the most part, they do stuff pretty clean.
Yeah, all the interference happens after matches. It usually happens every single match. Somebody kind of runs out and then
I kind of like that. And that's, I mean, what's cool for me as a wrestling fan, because what I get drawn to is wrestling. I want to see who got the hottest signature move. So it's nice that AEW doesn't do a whole lot of smosh finishes and shit like that, as you call them. I like that, you know, we get to see signature moves done.
I agree with that.
Either way, because the Bucks can survive without the belts. I don't think for their Bullet Club program they need to be champs, just like I don't think the OGBC needs to, not the OG, the Good Brothers need to be champs.
Yeah.
It's like, it is what it is. It can happen, whatever. In a perfect world, you have G.O.D. come out, but you know that's never
going to happen. Hey,
well, that would be something.
And speaking of that, without any further ado, one of their original affiliates will be in a exploding barbed wire death match for the AEW World Heavyweight. Who would have thought we'd hear this again in America? Kenny Omega defending the title against Jon Moxley. Exploding barbed wire match. Now, in all honesty, I've seen clips and bits and pieces of an exploding barbed wire match. Have I watched one entirely? No. I feel like I'm going to be pitching the majority of this match, but I'm still going to watch it because it's Moxley and Omega. who we going for in this?
I think there's no way, the more I think about it, that Moxley wins, because number one, last time they had a no DQ match, Omega took the finish, kept the movement. I think it's time for, you know, that 50-50 booking, brother.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Especially when this match does favor Moxley more than Omega. I think if you're looking at into the annals of history, because we know Deathmatch Mox is super Deathmatch Mox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Facts. I wouldn't be mad at that. And I do think that it's something that a lot of people don't expect, because everybody's thinking like, oh, Mox is worried about Kenta or worried about New Japan stuff. And he may go over to New Japan for a little while. So him getting this back would surprise a lot of people. So I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, but he really have to go back to, or he just has to take a flight to California, which is down the street where he lives.
Yeah, but you know, in our world, these wrestling companies are 10 million miles apart. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, he can't go wrestle for these guys and wrestle for these guys in the
but
same
who
week.
Who the hell knows?
But we don't know. Yeah,
we don't know what the schedule is. We don't know.
Well, technically, Mox did something similar to that. He did New Japan Strong, and then he went to go do Bloodsport.
And now wasn't that cool?
And then he's going to go do this, you know, this match this weekend. I mean, Mox is making the runs, baby.
Yeah, he's working. He's putting in the work. I didn't think I would really be into the whole Bloodsport thing. I thought this shit was tight. I was like, oh, this is dope. It's what Raw Underground should have been.
Oof. Yep.
Facts.
Yep.
No, it's what Raw Underground was aspiring to be.
It was what it was supposed to be. But yeah, they couldn't get it done.
So, I guess the last of our predictions, do you think they further the Bullet Club storyline here?
It's Kenny.
Anybody new? Do we get further, or it's kind of like Kenny wins, they close out the card, and then that's it, they're done?
Kenny, the Good Brothers, everybody heads held high. Kenny has two belts. That's what's happening. It's Kenny on this one, and I love Mox, but it's Kenny on this one.
What do you think? Everybody else?
I don't know, man. It's a little premature to end it now when I feel like.
No, I'm not saying end it. I'm saying, like, do they further?
Oh, do we see something else?
Do we see something happen in this favor?
I don't think tonight per se, because they're kind of already announcing a new TBD person for that ladder match, and then they're doing that other person who's going to get signed, that Hall of Famer. I don't think they're going to riddle us with surprises.
Yeah,
it ain't going to be the surprise show. They already got the two surprises planned, and they're going to leave it at that. But when it comes to this, I think it's literally between the two of them. Since Teak is back in real quick before we end the show. Teak, your predictions on the exploding barbed wire death match between Kenny and John for this weekend.
Kenny.
Yeah. Us and quite a few people agreed. Kenny, what I was saying just before you got in is like, this is him and the Good Brothers heads held high. Kenny has two belts. This is what he wanted, those bragging rights to prove to Moxley that he can go there. Cause this is more of a match that would be kind of in the favor of Moxley. He's the
What
more
two belts you talking about?
Vibe.
I don't think they have the U.S. belt on here.
No, the U.S. belt isn't on the line. He could probably put it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know it's not on the line.
Figuratively speaking, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know it's not on the line, but I'm just saying
But he could hold it up.
Belts from two different promotions. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Because he is trying to be that belt collector, right?
Exactly, right. That's what I'm saying. So it's the belt collector. Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. No NWO finish where everybody getting jumped at the end they're gonna play it straight, no small inch to further. Like, I'm not saying new guys, I'm saying, like, you know, the Good Brothers come out.
Well, the Good Brothers will get involved for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No DQ exploding bar.
Somebody will have to help, I don't know, try to even the odds up for Moxley.
Hell
but yeah, I don't think we'll get like a big new surprise.
Absolutely. Well, so a couple of things. We're going to go ahead and get into our Patreon episode, which is probably not going to be too long considering where we're at now. But we definitely appreciate everybody for rocking with us. To all of our Patreon subscribers, please make sure you go ahead and pay that money. Greatly appreciated for sure. Patreon episodes up next. I was actually meant to prepare a snack for the week this week, but I didn't, you know, because I was going to ask Rock and didn't realize that Rock wasn't going to be on the show. So yeah, that would have been nice to have a snack of the week though.
I'll say Hikaru Shida wearing white. Anytime she wears white, she's a babe.
Okay. So
I like it.
Hikaru Shida in white is our snack of the week this week. Interesting. Okay. That's
for sure.
That's what's up. Do we have a quick burial of the week, T?
State of Texas.
What? Texas again?
Even already. Run that shit.
Dang. Texas again. Nah. Texas keep doing bad. We can give it to, who was it? Also, it was Mississippi too. So we can go Mississippi.
I ain't deleting Texas from this write-up. I'm just saying Texas and Mississippi at this point.
That's fair.
Definitely. Because I'm a sneakerhead, my burial of the week is going to be that chick from Nike and what's her face for being caught. And her son, they deserve to be the burial of the week and the donkeys of the week fumbled in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
Was she like a VP or something like that? Like the Nike?
Yeah, she was a VP. Her son has this big old sneaker flipping business, and she like helped him get started. Was buying them the sneakers, helped them start the business, like the business license and stuff in her name. Like, yeah, man, it's crazy.
It wasn't, it wasn't a situation where she didn't disclose she wasn't violating Nike policy, but you know how it is. When a company gets bad press, they're going to have to do something about it.
Well, you could kind of bury Nike too, because they allowed it to go down. It was just that when people found out she was spending $100K on a you know, company card, then they had to do something. But like, they let the business go.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that's the reason I don't have nice sneakers.
That's the reason.
Yep.
Well, and like, you can never get in line on that sneakers app anyway, so fuck off.
Right, you ain't never been getting on the sneakers app. I missed out on another one. I missed out on my dunks today.
Yes. Oh my god!
The ones you posted, them shits was nice.
Yo, though. Them dunks was fire.
At 10, they were gone. I never logged into an app.
It was like a minute.
Sold out.
It's like a minute.
So to the state of Texas and the guy running it and to Nike, we got a big
and spot. Mrs.
All right, so that's
for y'all.
That's what we do to bear.
That's a wonderful clip. I
blame me for that. I'm a Black Dynamite fan.
All right, so yo, we gonna call it. We are going to head right over to Patreon. So if you are watching us live, you'll hear it. If you are not watching us live, you go to patreon.com/MattManiaPodcast, and you will hear our exclusive Patreon content.
Yes, indeed. So we're ending it now. We appreciate you guys. On behalf of our lead booker, Mega Ran, on the illustrious Neo X, on the villain T-Call, and on the Hispanic Lion, Marcos, I'm G1 to the rescue. And as always, in pardon, no matter what you do, stay safe, stay masked up, and always and forever keep your shoulders off the mat.
Yes.